This is PFW in Progress.
What are you going to do today?
Whatever I feel like I want to do. God!
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
What did you do last summer again?
I told you, I spent it with my uncle in Alaska hunting wolverines. They kept trying to attack my cousins. What the heck would you do in a situation like that?
Paul Perillo.
Are you going to eat your tots?
No.
Can I have them?
Give me some of your tots.
No, go find your own.
Come on, give me some of your tots.
No, I'm freaking starved. I didn't get to eat anything today. Freaking idiot.
And Andy. And Andy?
Well, you have a sweet bike, and you're really good at hooking up with chicks.
Andy Hart.
Plus, you're like the only guy at school who has a mustache.
That's true.
Some guy named Tom.
If you need to use any of my skills, I can do whatever you want. Plus, I could be your bodyguard, too. Or, like, Secret Service captain or whatever.
Sweet.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
She's the best thing that has ever happened to me. I'm 100% positive that she's my soulmate. I'm sure there's a babe out there for you too. Peace out.
PFW in Progress.
What the heck are you guys doing? Trying to ruin my life and make me look like a friggin' idiot?
All right, speaking of idiots, the gang's all here. Andy, Tom, Paul, Fred, Gary in the booth.
And Frank.
For another edition, Frank. Yeah, that's the new thing now. We're going to get into that a little later.
I have a feeling we're going to put an end to that today, Fred.
I don't. I think it's just picking up steam.
That's something where I'm sitting at home and I think about and I just start laughing.
All right, well, we'll get into all that. But another edition of PFW in Progress. A lot to talk about here. We got the draft coming up. China Bowl's been canceled. We have a lot of emails.
Is that a coincidence? You spent a day in China, Frank, and then you come back and they cancel the China Bowl?
Did you ruin China?
There was an incident involving a government official, two sheep, and a lady selling cheap Rolexes. But that's all I can say about it. Okay?
No disrespect to the Orientals.
Well, everyone's grateful, Fred, if it was you. Thanks.
Thanks, Frank.
But, you know, we've been doing a lot of work here, getting ready for. In fact, a lot of people don't know that. You know, we don't just come and just sit down and do this. We do a lot of prep work. In fact, Gary.
We do?
Do you have some of that?
That's me.
Oh, come on.
This is Tom playing.
I was cruising till you came in.
Fumble!
What a loser.
Get it!
That held the final score, 35-7. Patriots.
You gotta be shit.
Okay, interception. Come on, babe.
He's not running this route. He's supposed to run a f***ing fly route. You don't want any of that, Andy. 35-7.
Oh, what happened to your defense this week?
Shocking through two picks. And 303 yards. Calvin Martin, seven catches for 200.
Yeah, I got to go with Tom on this one. 303 yards, two picks is okay. Those are Drew numbers.
Marion Butts, only 30 yards. You don't run the ball on me. Still undefeated.
All right, well, that's Tom getting ready for the show today.
Being proven a loser.
Just so everybody knows, Tom's a know-it-all in Tecmo Bowl, too.
Tecmo Bowl?
Jeez, Fred, you know, I appreciate it because I spent all that time doing the defensive ends this morning and starting the mock draft, but I appreciate you highlighting me taking 5 minutes to play Tecmo Bowl.
Aren't there laws against that?
I came down here at 11:30. He was in a sweat.
It was only 7-0 at that point.
He got up from his desk at about 11:30 and walked by and said, quote, "I'm going to work on my passing game."
It worked.
All right. Well, the work goes in way ahead of time for the show.
Yes.
All right. Well, getting back to football, guys.
Dallas. Nobody ran the ball.
Well, what has happened? All right. Well, people can't see that, Andy. We're on the radio. Email address is webradio@patriots.com. The email address is webradio@patriots.com. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. We have a ton of emails, as we always do. People just are starving for Patriots news. You can't get it anywhere else in the world except right here.
Speaking of starving. Yeah. I'm just kidding. I don't want everybody getting mad at us for asking
I'm
for
not.
Food.
Send us food.
Yeah, send us food, the usual.
Who's supposed to get us food today?
Paul.
Paul was?
Why was I supposed to?
I heard
to
you won the pool at EEI.
How'd you hear that?
A lot of money.
Yeah, the word gets around.
I did.
You don't think we hear things?
I'm freaking starting.
But I didn't want to waste it today.
You're
wanted
flush.
To get something good.
You're flush.
I'm psyched.
Yeah, that's
today
great.
We could have a listener.
That's good
provided.
For us.
Paul's kind of lucky.
That you won. It gives us credibility.
You ever notice
that? Our guy won.
Huh? Okay.
Kind of lucky. He's got the perfect life, and all he does is bitch and moan about it.
I only bitch and moan about you.
No, you bitch and moan a lot.
He always wins.
Remember
like
that rant? Person. This job would be perfect if I didn't have to work on weekends.
All right. Patriots news this week. Anything?
Is there? Just the China.
China's off.
Preseason games. Big deal.
Bill Belichick was at the NCAA finals. Tom Brady was in Africa.
So what do you think about that, Fred? Everybody's here working out. Brady's in Africa.
Well, are you trying to make
come on down
out?
To Tom Brady's Falafel City.
That's what he does.
At the end of the offseason program, he will be one of the award winners.
Right. So
should he be?
I mean, you don't have enough.
Yeah.
You don't have enough data on Tom Brady right now that
no,
you're
but
okay
I'm,
with this.
But I'm asking, isn't this the time where they try to bring everyone together? You always hear like, well,
no. After
we spent all these hours together. Blah,
yeah.
blah, blah.
No, they're pretty big on the offseason program.
Sure they are.
The
but
whole
what,
thing.
And
right, but you're not here so for the whole thing.
No, I know. You have 4 or 5 days
Richard
built
Seavers
in
to South Carolina or wherever he is, Georgia.
I thought he was here.
No, he did a radio interview last week from his house with four
kids.
That's
another one of those things. Pete Prisco was wrong because he was here the first day.
You reach Richard Seymour fan hotline.
So,
but let's not minimize it. They want them here working
absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely. Look,
but
if I was a coach, would I want my guys here all day, every day, together? Yes.
Well, no.
But it just doesn't happen.
Right.
You know, Tom Brady's done this before. He's gone and
well, the only reason,
saw
the only reason I bring
him,
Frank,
sorry,
the, well, I'm saying the only reason I brought it up, Frank, was because they have. I mean, what is this? Is this a, like, are they doing passing drills and stuff?
No.
Oh, right now they're just working out.
Well, that's what I was
going to
say. It's important. The part for him.
I was
going
to say the new receivers.
He's instrumental to be here during the passing camps, which take place in May. So I don't think that he's necessarily.
So what is this then?
It's lifting. Lifting and running.
Lifting
and running.
Oh, yeah. But who cares?
And they do a few drills, but it's mostly just lifting and running.
And isn't it different, you know, isn't it like a
there's
6
phases.
Week yeah, that's what
oh,
I
yeah, there's definitely
what I
phases.
Well, thanks, Andy.
But they also, it's whatever the total number of days are, you have built-in days where you can kind of do your own schedule where you take 4 here or you miss a day here, and here. There's built-in off days that you can sort of use up. So if he uses those, I mean.
Right. You have a certain amount of days.
I just don't want him getting the prime parking spot because Tom Brady gets the prime parking spot every year. I want him getting the prime parking spot because
it should go to
Lakeven's really
well,
work
I mean,
the hardest.
It should be based on, I mean, I always thought it was just based on attendance and the guys who are here the most get the spots, but.
So maybe, all those other guys slack? There's got to be something else that goes into it.
Maybe that's not.
I think it should go to Lakeven Smith.
Okay.
My sources are telling me Lakeven Smith in great shape.
Then who gets it when he gets cut?
Keep it. He's not going to get cut. He'll be the backup defensive tackle for this team this year. Put it in the books.
Really?
Lakeven Smith.
Over Jarvis Green.
Well, I'm talking about
nose tackle.
No,
he means
nose tackle.
Yeah.
Okay.
We saw him play in practice a little bit in the preseason last year. I thought he held his own pretty, and I thought he was a little soft last year.
We liked him in training
camp. No question.
I remember
and
that.
Now
we
he's coming in lean and mean. Watch out. Lakeven Smith.
Okay. Tom's early prediction. Lakeven Smith, big,
could that be,
improvement.
Could
this
that
year.
Be a bad thing, though? If he's, you know, lean and mean, maybe he needs that ball.
No, I'm not saying, I don't mean lean. Like I'm just saying, I noticed that a lot of his, he wasn't quite as soft around the middle. You know, maybe I saw him and Mike Wright hanging out together. Maybe Mike Wright's got him in a lifting program because whatever program he's using is working.
Program. Good way to describe it.
He's in a program.
All right.
He might be in another one soon because
no,
of the first program.
I do remember during the training camp because they had a lot of guys in and out, if you remember last year, in the defensive line at the start of camp. And he was getting a lot of reps with guys that you wouldn't have expected a sixth-round pick to be getting reps with. And he was holding his own.
Yeah. Well,
we were all impressed
to be
with
fair,
him.
Though, we were comparing him with Jonathan Sullivan. And Andy would look good at
Tabagoo.
Nose tackle.
But there were a lot of other guys that weren't
saying,
getting
he
those
did look
reps.
Pretty good.
You know, when you see the third and fourth guys get out there and they're playing against each other, it's hard to make a gauge. But when you see a Lakeven Smith out there and he's going against, say, a Russ Hochstein.
He wasn't getting pushed all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty good.
Okay, other Patriots in the news. Tom Curran from MSNBC.com Sports reports that Bill Belichick has said that he expects and wants Troy Brown back for another year. Troy Brown says he'd like to come back for another
year. You got to help my boy Tom Curran out, though. It's NBCSports.com.
Yeah.
What did I say?
NBC Sports.
This MS stuff.
What?
I thought he added some extra things in there that didn't.
He had about three syllables.
MSNBC?
No. That's like 5 years ago. NBCSports.com.
What?
Okay. But yes, sounds like Troy Brown will be a Patriot in 2007.
Well, no, I mean, Troy wants to come back, but it won't it be
and
based
Bill
on
wants
his
him
health?
Back, so.
Won't it be based on his health?
He says he's fine, except for the shoulder.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Which no one knew was a problem.
You know, so it's not definite yet.
Not definite, but when the guy who makes the decision to bring you back says he wants you and you want to be back,
I was going to say, and the guy who we're talking about says he wants to be back, I would say
well,
it's,
I think basically they've set this up so that when Troy Brown goes, everyone knows it's on Troy Brown's terms.
Yes,
I think that's what they wanted to do.
I would agree with you on
that. Plus, as we've argued before, I still think he's one of the top five guys at receiver.
Right now, yeah. He still is.
Well,
absolutely.
Yeah, and we don't know, and you know, you're talking about the news of the week and you know, this whole Chad Jackson thing, just how serious his torn ACL is. I'm not necessarily buying the
latest
reports,
positive. Much ado about nothing.
That's how I kind of
agent
look
speak.
At it. Yeah, that's exactly how I.
That's
look
been
at
told
it.
To a number of reporters. Some reporters thought better to filter it out. Others didn't and ran with it.
Yeah, that's
much ado about nothing.
That's how I looked at
Lawrence
it.
Lawrence Maroney, same thing.
Well, that's the
Tom. You have an inside track on Lawrence Maroney's health.
Yeah, well, apparently, and this I'll tell you what, my inside track said that last year. One of the reasons he was getting tackled in the backfield so much was because of the blocking. He said that they blocked specifically for Dylan, and Maroney's not the same kind of runner. Then now the report comes out that they're going to change maybe a little bit to some more zone blocking. And this guy told me this, you know, months ago. So that's interesting because I think Dylan and Maroney are not the same kind of runner. And if you just plug someone in and say run the same things that Dylan's doing, well, they're not the same type of guy. So if they start doing more things to get Maroney free in space, I think that's going to be good for him. Although I am worried about those injuries, though. I'm starting to think maybe running back in the draft a little earlier than we had originally. Because if he goes down, you're down to Sammy Morris. And then you're down to Brady getting pounded. Like you know what I mean, on every pass attempt. I just – maybe another running back – earlier in the draft just to add some depth.
Well, I mean, it's a lot of teams don't have, you know, a second runner who really can step in and be of the caliber of their first runner.
I understand,
runner.
But you're also talking about a guy who has never carried the load even in college,
yeah.
And he's only in his second year in the NFL. Yeah. Now, if you're
this
Larry,
was Corey
if
you're, Dillon in 2004, right. I wouldn't have the same concern.
If you're Larry Johnson, but you don't really need a second runner.
But, you know, what level of runner do you think they should get, and can they afford having – two high quality
runners
on the roster.
No, I'm saying like third round. I'm not talking about first round. I mean, maybe a little bit earlier, maybe first day instead of second day. Depends. Like,
is a rookie runner going to be any better than Sammy Morris?
Well, I think there's some guys like Tony Hunt for Penn State who has a heck of a lot more talent than Sammy Morris, a heck of a lot.
Okay, I'm just trying to get out of you if you think it's worth using that third round pick on a running back.
Can I ask a question? If we're talking so much about maybe they don't have what they need at backup running back, was the Sammy Morris signing a bad signing?
See, I'm not as concerned about it as maybe some. Now, if I think Tom's right, if Maroney does go out and he's down and lost for the year, then you're in trouble. But I kind of side with Fred on this argument because I think you're in that. There are a select few teams that, you know, look, if Julius Jones or Marion Barber, you know, interchangeable. There's other teams that have a situation like that. You know, like the Bears had with Jones and Benson. You know. Not a lot of teams have that. What, you know, if Larry Johnson goes down, the Chiefs are done.
Right.
You know, if Tomlinson goes down, if Turner stays, you're okay.
Well, I think that's Tom's point.
No, that's why I said I understand Tom's point, but I'm not.
Right.
I'm not looking at Maroney missing 10 games. I'm looking at him dealing with nagging injuries and maybe missing some time. And if that's the case, I'm okay with Sammy Morris being a backup. If Sammy Morris has to play 5 games in a row, I'm not okay with that.
And well,
but shouldn't you have gone after maybe somebody who could have filled that role a little more?
Well, I would need maybe.
But Chris Brown is
maybe.
The guy we've talked about. Injury history.
Yeah, is there any difference between Chris Brown and Sammy Morris?
I think he's been the guy.
Yeah, but I don't think
he can't stay healthy, but he's been the guy.
I wouldn't feel
Sammy Morris. Has never been the guy.
I think your point, your larger point, I absolutely agree with. I would need the individual. Chris Brown, I wouldn't agree with you on.
See, I would take. If you tell me Lawrence Maroney just dislocated his shoulder and he's going to miss a month, and in this scenario you have Chris
Brown for a week.
In this scenario you have Sammy Morris.
Michael Bennett.
But I'd rather have Chris Brown for a week or 2 weeks because I might have him. I think Sammy Morris gets you into what you said.
I would feel
Tom Brady gets killed.
I like Chris Brown, you know, probably a little bit more than Tom does. but I wouldn't feel that much different with Chris Brown as my backup than I do with
And you mentioned the guys from Dallas, Paul. Now, see, that's kind of the idea I had. They took Julius Jones, and then the next year they took Barber in round four. That's what I'm kind of thinking, because Jones kind of had the same reputation. He never carried the ball the whole time. I mean, I think Maroney is better than Julius Jones, but I think maybe in that third or fourth round area, if there's a back Belichick likes, he brings him in and he turns him into that Barber.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, especially when you get to the fourth round, I wouldn't be surprised at all if they saw a running back that they like, bringing him in.
See, that's me.
They've done
I'm
it a lot
second,
before.
I'm more secondary. But I do think that's a need. Like I just think it's a secondary.
But what if you
need?
Love Tony Hunt and he's there in round three? That's the one guy because he's a.
That's why
pounder.
They make the big bucks, Tom.
But how much do you love him? How much do you love
him? That's what you
have
to decide.
Value. Because if you love him that much, then do you not really love Lawrence Maroney? You know what I'm saying?
Why do you love him?
What's the value to your team?
Yeah, it's a good question.
A big pounding back can take some of the carries in the goal
line. To not fill
line.
A need elsewhere. Because if you love Tony Hunt that much, then maybe you don't. You know what I'm saying? Maroney is your guy.
I know,
that you
but this
love.
Isn't the Cardinals. They don't have 150 needs. I know they need some depth at linebacker and in the secondary, but it's not like this team isn't a Super Bowl contender.
No question.
Yeah,
I just think if you love a guy, you get into a question of, well,
they are in an enviable spot. Though,
I was talking more about value.
They're more supplementing in the draft rather than really. You know, they really need to hit a home run at a couple of spots here.
Well, I still think that they need help at
of course.
Linebacker.
Oh, they
of
need,
course.
They need, they need help there. They need secondary. Help in the secondary, too. Yeah. And
but we're thinking they're going to take those, like, really early.
Well, I'm thinking the first round picks, I'm assuming, are going to be defense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that might be a bad
assumption
on
my
part.
Come away day one, right, without an inside linebacker, that to me that's a little scary. Because if Bruschi or Vrabel gets hurt.
I know, but Tom, what happens if the first time they pick – Patrick Willis is already off the board.
At some point, you know
what?
Find somebody. I'm not buying it this year. There's too many good inside linebackers. Trade down in round two, take Brandon Siler from Florida, take David Harris from Michigan, take John Beeson from Miami. I can't buy your argument this year.
Okay.
They're in position with two first-round picks. There's plenty of good inside linebackers. They got to come away with one of them.
All right.
I can't really argue with that. At some point, you have to find one.
Yeah,
and find a way to get one.
I just think there's so many variables when it comes around to your pick.
Yeah, and you know what one of the variables is? Peyton
say,
Manning playing against Derek Alexander.
We're going to take an inside linebacker by hell or high water, no matter what.
No, but there's some there,
that's
Fred.
Not, that's not what
you're
he's arguing.
Be there.
Yeah, but there might be – what I'm saying is, okay, there could be some good inside linebackers, but all of a sudden there's a safety – who you didn't think was going to be.
And you have two picks.
And you got to take them.
Right. But you have two picks. That's the whole point.
Yeah,
now, if they only had
trade up, you can
if they only had one pick, I would agree with their theory. Yeah. Well, they take the best player that's there that fills a need, blah, blah, blah. But with two picks and with all those linebackers scheduled to go in that area, you got to come away with
you
one.
No, I'm not advocating taking Zach Diossi at number 28 because, you know, the three guys that Tom mentioned and Patrick Willis happened to somehow shock the world and go in the top 20, 27 picks.
Right.
Well, geez, I have to get an inside linebacker come hell or high water. I'm just going to take the next one I have. I wouldn't
not the
do
Bills.
That. You know, yeah, I'm not going to take Dante Whitner just because Michael Huff went the pick before. I can't, you know, but at some point they have to find a way, and they have the flexibility to do it, but at some point they have to find a way to get a guy that they like.
Unless they don't like any of it. Which has been the case for like 5 years.
At some point, you have to like somebody, and you have to develop somebody.
Yeah, somebody, you know, people are filling the inside linebacker role or middle linebacker with guys. There's some good middle linebackers in the NFL now. They came from the draft,
right?
So
because
you know,
if you look at the age of Bruschi and Vrabel, what are the chances both guys play 16 games? You know, if you're just going with the odds, just the odds.
Yeah.
And then what are we talking about? Eric Alexander. I mean, he might develop into a nice backup
junior
kind of
Sayo
player.
Coming back?
I mean, they need that.
They
John
don't draft
Beeson,
the linebacker high.
Patrick,
Junior Sayo has to come back.
But don't you think they need that John Beeson, Patrick Willis killer out there that can run, that can tackle, that can
every
do it all?
Every team does, yeah. I mean,
well,
you'd love
there.
To have them.
They're there.
Yeah.
That's why he's going to go in the top 15 picks.
Well, we'll see.
It's now, we're doing that draft blog, right, Fred?
In fact, we have the software for you. It updates instantaneously.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
We got it the other day.
Oh, were we supposed to have a meeting this morning?
And you guys,
I told Jana we'd do it after the show.
And you guys are gonna want to go on that because we're gonna be making fun of all the other teams and be praising the Patriots, like we always do.
Just how Tom always does it.
I'll tell you why.
Except when the mics go off.
the Raiders are getting killed no matter who they take. So.
All right. Web radio at Patriots.
You should tell everybody your draft prediction that you told me so you can have it on record.
I predict, this is my big prediction, that Brady Quinn will be the number one quarterback drafted.
That's
not number one pick, but the number one quarterback.
That's a big prediction, Fred.
Yeah. Just over Russell.
Well, I assume that you weren't talking about, you know, over Drew Stanton.
Right. I like Brady.
Well, that's the other thing I was thinking. Drew Stanton might surprise people, but I'm saying that
he's going to be a good player in the league.
Quinn will be drafted over Russell.
Okay. Maybe number two to Detroit.
Maybe. So that's my prediction.
Johnson, then Russell. I mean, Johnson, then Quinn.
Why do you have any information on Oakland's
of course
draft?
I just came to him.
It's one of those things.
It's been written.
With these GMs out there, you know, they probably look at a guy like Quinn and say, you know what, he probably doesn't have the athleticism, but, you know, he can be a Brady-type player where, you know, pocket passer, run a couple when he has to, but, you know, he's a safer pick. We won't have to do as much with him once he gets here. I don't know.
He's the safer pick.
I think he's the safer pick. I just, based on everything we're reading,
it's the more dangerous pick because everybody says that Russell's the best quarterback to come out with physical tools.
The big thing with Quinn is what he's done in big games, and at times he's not accurate.
Right.
You know?
No question.
But let's not forget, Jamarcus Russell, that Notre Dame game, that wasn't every week last year, right, in college football. They played a lot of 10-6 ball games where they couldn't move the ball at all.
Yep.
And he stares his receivers down badly. He's got a long ways to go.
Right.
The Raiders
Very
think he's
raw.
Coming in and starting day one. I think they're going to ruin the kid. I think he needs to sit for at least 8 games, get some good coaching, which Andy doesn't think he'll get in Oakland for sure.
His face is too red.
Because he saw him at the combine. But I think if Jamarcus Russell starts the opening game for the Raiders, I think he could be a bust because I think he needs to be coached up some in the NFL.
Yeah. So that's my prediction, and I'm sticking to it, and we'll see what happens.
That's a bold prediction.
But I think it's good we should all have some things that we go into the day with, and, you know, just throw them out there and see if they come true. What the hell?
I'll try to do that.
You nervous, Paul?
Something to look forward to.
I'm just laughing at Tom. I'll try to do that.
I'll try to come up with some crazy predictions on draft day.
All right. You know, like last year you had your linebacker that went to Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was a good thing that we kept track of all day.
And we also had the Darnell Bing thing, too.
And the Darnell Bing thing.
A lot of people had him going in the first round.
You're talking about?
Oliver Hoyt, right.
You know, we said...
Matt Nguyen?
As we said day two, and not only that, we said he couldn't play safety. They draft him. 10 minutes later, they announced they're moving him to linebacker. So that was a pretty good deal.
Yeah. So those are the kind of things that make the day interesting. Little stories, side stories that we follow. And speaking of the draft, we got a ton of stuff that we're going to be doing. We've got the draft reports podcast we're doing now. You guys just posted a sort of compilation of all the various mock drafts around the country and what they're saying the Patriots are going to take with 24 and 28, and you'll continue to update that as those boards get updated. There's already an update? Who changed?
The Great Blue North Blue Report.
Oh, that's
whatever.
Good, because that was one of the ones that was most out of
date. They only updated one pick. They originally had Aaron Ross and somebody. Now they have Aaron Ross and Paul Posluszny.
So they're going for the linebacker from Penn State for the
He's a common pick. He's a common pick. Reggie Nelson's a common pick.
Gonzalez, is he on there?
No, Gonzalez, not a single pick.
Now, I know you guys aren't very high on him.
No. Gonzalez?
Gonzalez or Posluszny?
Posluszny.
It's not that.
I haven't watched his tape yet, but I know Andy and Tom.
I think he would be a good second-round draft pick, Fred, because I think there's a chance he could play in the NFL for about 10 years and be an adequate starter. I'm just not sure if he's going to be the superstar that he was in college. That's my...
So you don't think he's first-round value?
Not really.
But it depends what the value is, because I said to Tom, I think he's a better player than Chad Greenway was last year.
Right.
I think
he
has
12.
A better upside.
He went...
Chad Greenway, right, was a top 15
The guy from Ohio
pick.
State?
Now, no, from Iowa.
Or his ACL, we'll never know.
His teammate, Tim Shaw, couldn't play if we went outside and had just a pickup game. He's terrible. And Andy, you could finally back me up, because you finally saw the video on Tim Shaw. I mean...
Tim Shaw stinks.
I mean, he's awful. So,
and these are his highlights.
Didn't make a single play. Yeah. Made a couple Eric Alexander tackles 5 yards downfield. Other than that, it was him rushing the passer and getting there, you know, half second, 2 seconds after the passer, threw the ball down the field and completed a pass. Terrible. I can't believe they consider that a highlight film. I'd hate to see just, you know, game film on him sucking.
Wow.
But back
to
Posluszny, because Posluszny,
I
think...
The Patriots scouting room is a tough place to be.
you know, our, the PFW scouting.
Oh, I was going to say, because we have nothing to do with that.
Don't confuse the Patriots scouting room with any of the nonsense that's spotted by the three scouting rooms.
But you know what's weird, Fred? We'll give our opinions. Now, there are honest opinions. This is what we think of these guys. Like, fans will take it personally.
Sorry.
They'll like,
yeah, that guy emailed in, like, you got to give Puzz credit because blah, 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 blah. But I didn't go to Penn State.
I'm not even a fan. But you got to give Puzz credit.
Well, why are you defending him and calling him Puzz?
I did give him credit. If you read everything I said you cannot overlook his production. He was very productive. I mean, I don't think people actually read this stuff. I think they just read one sentence and then start emailing in. I gave him a ton of credit. And I don't think he's going to be a total bust.
And a lot of people love him. Like, a lot of people
love
him.
He's one of those guys that is pretty much split down the middle. You got the guys that hate him, and you got the guys that love
him. Now, one of the things I've heard about him is that he probably won't get ever any bigger. He's got a kind of a lower,
well, that's
thin
one of
lower
my
body.
That's what
He's chicken legs.
That's one of the things that I chicken put legs. For negatives, Fred. I don't think he has the build to put on 15, 20, you know, pounds of muscle. Where some of those guys, they can get bigger.
That's
his
the important thing.
Legs
for him
are really
is
small.
How much weight he can put on, how much stronger he can get. If he can get in the right program and whatever you want to call a program in the National Football League to put on some muscle, I think that'll be the difference. Because I think he's smart. I think he's fundamentally sound. He clearly has a knack for fighting through the wash and getting to the ball carrier, making the play. That's how he ended up with so many tackles at Penn State. But doing it at the next level is going to be a little different. Everybody else is going to be a little faster. Everybody else is a little stronger.
For Shaw's mistakes, there's probably about 100 tackles Shaw was supposed to make.
He's a nice player, but again, is he a nice player or is he a first-round pick who's going to start for you for the next 8 to 10 years and make some Pro Bowls? That's what I'm looking for in a first-round pick.
Okay. All right, well, Gary, let's take a break. When we come back, we got a ton of emails. We'll get right to them.
Hey, sweetie, when I picked up the dry cleaning today, I put 43 cents into our savings.
I'll alert the media.
Introducing Keep the Change from Bank of America.
And at lunch, I put away 61 cents.
Really? That much?
Each time you buy something with your Bank of America Visa check card, we round up the amount to the next dollar and transfer your change from your checking to your savings account.
I checked online, and so far we've saved $2.25.
Wow, a whole $2.25.
Try $225.
Oh.
Plus, we'll match 100% of your Keep the Change savings for the first 3 months and continue matching 5% up to $250 a year.
I'm back from the store. Just saved 8 cents.
I'll alert the media.
Open a checking account and keep the change. Only at Bank of America. Higher standards. Match paid annually after anniversary of enrollment. Savings accounts include regular savings with annual percentage yield of 0.5%. Member FDIC. Patent pending.
Your New England Revolution are Eastern Conference champions for the second straight year. Be a part of the action all season long as the Revs make another run at a championship and a third straight trip to MLS Cup. Season tickets are now on sale for the 2007 season. This 19-game package gives you the same seat to 15 regular season matches and 4 special soccer matches, including the CONCACAF Gold Cup first round and quarterfinal action. Tickets start at just $13 per game. Plus, you'll get free parking all season long. Taylor Twellman.
Matt
Reese.
And the save by Reese gets nothing.
And the rest of the Revs are revved up for the 2007 season and want to bring a championship home.
The Revolution bench is going nuts. Taylor Twellman sprints 90 yards to the fort to celebrate with the New England fans.
Call the Revolution ticket office today at 1-877-GET-REVS to get your 2007 ticks, get your kicks, and get the Revolution. When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
This speech is my recital. I think it's very vital. To rock
around,
that's right,
on top.
Here we go.
is Tom's song. He's jamming over here.
Oh, you'll hear it at my wedding.
This is what they're going to play?
It's on the list.
Is this like when you walk down the aisle, they're going to play this?
I got some surprises for you. Don't worry.
That's tricky, man.
Remember Mark Stella?
Yes.
I went to his wedding and up in Lawrence or wherever it was. When he walked out after the wedding, you know, we go to this reception hall and, like, they introduce the bride and the groom again. And he walks out to
the
theme.
Is that how weddings work, Fred?
Yeah. I hate this stuff.
I'm sorry. That was not the kindler, gentler Paul. That's my bad.
Wes Welker would do that.
And he walks out to the theme of The Godfather. You know, it was
I do remember you guys telling me that.
I'll blow that
away. That's a good one.
Yeah. That was a funny wedding because you got, like, the bride and groom doing all that traditional stuff. Then you got this table in the back with, like, six old guys playing cards. Right in the middle of the reception. It's funny. All right.
That's a party. Got to play cards.
Let's get to the emails that we didn't play cards at your.
No, you just watched TV.
Yeah.
You watched a football game.
A 41-0 football game at that.
That didn't involve the Patriots.
Paul, it sounds like you're mad at me still about
it. I'm not as mad as Andy's wife is.
She thinks you're a terrible person because of that.
Beth and I had no problem with it whatsoever, but Andy's wife was very offended.
You don't have to worry about Fred at my wedding. I'm getting him involved right away. I got some plans for you,
Tom. Fred. Don't do that.
I got some plans.
Tom, don't Frank, do that.
Nobody can control me when I. You see, at work you can control me a little bit, but when I'm on my own,
this is
in big
the version
trouble.
Of you that's under control. That's
wait till you see me at my wedding.
Wow.
I just want
walk up the women and children at that one.
Observer, Tom.
Don't worry about it.
I just want to observe.
I got things planned.
I'm afraid now. I'm scared.
All right. Whoa. You know what we didn't talk about?
What?
You.
What?
What'd you get this week?
Oh, it's a new car that I dinged up.
Cadillac Frank, we call him now.
I bought a used Cadillac.
Used.
No, it was a pre-owned.
Pre-owned. Things. You walk by, you can see the reflection, and now it has a changing of errors.
It is. As long as I've known you, you've had that Jeep.
I've had a Jeep since 95, literally. But.
Literally. Not figuratively.
Two of them. I had two of them. But I've owned a Jeep. But, the Cadillac I have is an 06, by the way. But it's got a nav system in it. So I went, you know how you can store addresses in it?
No, I don't know because I don't have a car that has a nav system.
But
I
checked the addresses that had been stored. Apparently, this was used as a limo, you know, because it was like Philadelphia Airport, Teterboro.
Oh, they
Airport.
Must have beat the hell out of that.
I was going to say, is that good or bad?
It's probably bad. Yeah. You know,
I would think it'd be bad because you're not really taking care of it like it's your own.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, it had 27,000 miles on it.
But they were hard miles.
And that mark on the door was there, Fred. Trust me.
That happened at the Teterboro Airport.
But, no, so it is different for me. It's like driving in my living room.
But you still get into the car with your hair messed up and your shirt untucked and a little stain on your... Okay.
Did you park it in Sharon today?
That's it. Right.
Yeah, well, that's not because I'm afraid people will hit me. I'm afraid to hit people.
It's
a bad
car.
Parker.
It's not that big.
And it is a big
it's
car.
It's a car, though.
Yeah, but
it's not like when you had the Dodge 1500 heavy duty.
I can fit the Jeep in most people's glove compartment. This thing's tough to get in there. So, although it does have this amazing thing where it's got these lights on the dashboard, and if you get close to someone, the lights start to light up.
Jeez,
and the closer you get, the more lights light up.
So you know what the one good thing though is, Andy,
parking
about this?
It's got a heated steering wheel.
It's coming back from Neckin. We can park in the back instead of Fred going 75 miles
around that curve.
You know what? I didn't think of that. I'll never get into a space at that place. I'll have to park on the street next to that moving truck that's always there.
Pretend it's still a limo. Drop us off at the door.
Yeah.
Hey, so you have lights that tell you how close you are to another vehicle?
Yeah.
Oh, lights.
Must be nice.
Andy, I haven't even figured out all the buttons yet. The other day I couldn't get the gas door open to put gas in it. I couldn't figure it out. It's got more buttons on it than I push with Gary in there.
What does that mean?
You know how I push his buttons.
Yeah. All right, fresh.
Get to the emails.
People are going to get mad.
All right.
It's only a matter of time.
You guys thought it was important enough to bring up.
Well, it is. Yeah, I just want people to know that you are the rich leader of this show. You're the wealthy.
Which one of you guys had Ian Kinsler?
I do.
There's a dinger for
you.
Yeah,
I know.
Two.
He's got two
already.
And as people, you know, the China Bowl is canceled.
Postponed, I thought the word was.
Postponed till 09. It came after my trip, and I really can't get into the details of what happened.
What?
Fred Kirsch.
Ruined it again.
Spy.
Well done, though.
Bill Belichick. Yeah, the coaching staff was doing handstands, I can tell you that much.
And we mentioned it a little bit, but it's at Tampa for the preseason opener.
Right.
Return home for Tennessee.
Go to
Carolina.
Return
and then
home
return
the
home for the Giants.
Carolina
we've
will be
played
the
a lot
reversal.
Of preseason games in Carolina over the years.
Carolina and the Giants seem to be our preseason foes.
And that's a
choice.
Good place because they have that mall next door. You can go to the mall.
See,
it's funny
it.
How you
it's
look
one
at
of
it.
My
Andy and I
most
hate it.
Hated trips.
Really? Why?
Yeah, I don't,
nothing to do.
I like
got that big mall. It's a beautiful mall with nice restaurants.
Unlike you, I don't have a lot of money, so the mall is useless to me.
Well,
but you're buying tractors, king size beds.
By the way, you know, you brought up my Cadillac.
Sorry, Andy.
Andy Hart's getting a horse. You know, so
possibility down the road.
Mr. Equestrian over here. Next thing you know, you'll be joining the polo club.
The one
I got one right near me up in Hamilton.
That's a nice club.
The Myopia Club.
That's a great
this
club.
This one's spiraling out of control.
The one good thing about playing Carolina in Carolina then is that it'll be the dress rehearsal game. So the teams will play into the third quarter with their starters, so that'll be a good test for the Patriots.
They can play that underachiever from the NFC and see what they're made of.
Okay. All right.
D'Angelo Williams and Lawrence Maroney on the field at the same time.
We can find out.
Last time they played a preseason game in Carolina, that was a war. Remember that game? It was after the Super Bowl. Remember they played in, I think it was 2003, the Super Bowl, so it was 2004. They played in the preseason. It was a very physical preseason game where Carolina took it very seriously.
They all kind of blend together to me.
Oh, I remember that.
What, the Krispy Kremes that you eat before the game in Carolina blend together? Because you usually strap
good,
it on pretty good.
It's a good preseason slate, though.
I like the stadium.
Different.
I like that stadium.
No, but I mean, in general, you got Tampa's a little different.
Mm-hmm.
That's
you know which
one's
interesting that we haven't really talked about is the Tennessee.
Where they
the
can
bad
fight.
Blood.
That's the first thing that stuck out in my mind is to see how they approach that game.
Rodney Harrison. Is Bobby Wade still on? Did he sign out
no,
for
No, he signed with Minnesota.
Ah,
I would advise you to bet the Patriots in that game.
You think they'll be going for it?
Belichick will be rolling that one up.
Interesting.
All right, webradio at patriots.com. Let's get to some of the emails. The first one's from Nick in San Diego, and he says, Andy, a.k.a. Stewie Griffin, I usually agree with you and your opinions,
thanks.
Except when you argue with Tom, who is always right.
Shut up.
But especially when you argue with Paul. Although, I do like the new Paul. Picking on Fred is not really a challenge, and I applaud your new direction. Where I must split with you, Andy, is on Michael Griffin. I was reading scouting reports, and they all said great athlete, awful tackler. I watched his highlight reel on YouTube. What is supposed to be a collection of his best plays, and frankly, I thought he looked like a chump. He dives at people's feet and tries to make spectacular hits. He had two tackles in a four-minute clip that I was impressed with. There was another clip, but it was all fumble recoveries and block punts.
God, don't want those.
Both of which I feel is more in the right place at the right time than anything else. He doesn't ever wrap up. In lots of those games, Texas was pounding an awful team by 20 to 40 points. I would take Nelson, Merriweather, and Rouse over Griffin. I know you two have
Rouse,
R-O-U-S-E.
No, I know.
No,
not the name.
We like Rouse.
I like him as a middle round pick and a big bodied, physical, tools kind of guy. But Michael Griffin is a polished playmaker in college who is a tremendous first round pick and will bring you value if you get him late in the first round.
Fred, if I can interject here. We've been getting a lot of negative Michael Griffin emails, and I was wondering why, because Andy and I both love him. I mean, my commentary in this paper was about how fans can go on to YouTube and, you know, get involved with the draft process and how it's great. But we saw, you know, quite a bit of Michael Griffin on our tape, and he's a heck of a player. So I was asking Andy, what's all this negative Michael Griffin stuff coming from? And according to Andy, Mike Mayock really doesn't like him. So I think a lot of people are hearing what Mayock has to say on the NFL Network and then are, you know, kind of forming opinions on him. I'm not saying this guy didn't form his opinion on his own, but we've been getting a lot of anti-Michael Griffin stuff.
So and I saw the clip of Mayock, and he was listing his safeties. And we all know, no matter who the player is, I could take Tom Brady, and if you say, okay, I need you to pick three highlights, and if I don't like Tom Brady, I can make him look bad.
I can certainly show him with Brady Quinn.
I can show him throwing a pass from the seat of his pants, getting picked off, or something stupid, and you go, well, that guy's an idiot. He doesn't make good decisions. You can do it with anybody.
He took
like Nelson and Landry and just showed pure highlights. Then he shows Griffin, and he's showing, well, you look down here, he bites on a play fake, and then he misses an open field tackle. You can do it with anyone. The guy is a very good football player.
And it does sound like Nick did, you know, his own research, too, and watching some stuff on YouTube. I like Griffin, too. He was the guy before this draft process even started. I liked him from the games that I saw with Texas. But, you know, this, I kind of agree with Andy because there's a little something in every guy that's for everyone. What one guy does well may not be something that you necessarily think is all that important. That's what I think the beauty of this whole evaluation is that it's just really strict opinion. Now, those guys, it's a lot more than that for the teams themselves because there's a lot more riding on it. But when you're just watching a guy and you're saying, geez, I like the way he does this in coverage, and that might be the most important thing you want out of that safety, whereas someone else might be looking at the tackles. And I kind of agree, you know, the fumble recoveries thing is a circumstantial thing. That is, I disagree with blocking punts. That's not just, you know, right place, right time.
Guys that have a lot of recoveries are guys who tend to be around the ball a lot.
He's one of those guys. He's always around the football.
I think standing around, I don't necessarily think fumble recovery guys are just guys that are around the ball.
I think one, it's circumstantial, but when a guy has a lot over his career, it shows you that he's around the ball a lot.
I mean, I wouldn't put him that far behind Huff. I think Huff was a better overall player coming into the draft. But if you get a guy 24, 28, who's not that much further down than a guy that was taken in the top 10 last year, that's pretty good value.
And he mentioned some other guys. The question about Griffin is he a cover guy or is he more of just an in-the-box type safety? Merriweather, no question, is a cover guy from the safety position. Some people think he's going to end up being a corner in the National Football League. Now, Griffin is not going to be a corner in the NFL. He could be a guy that plays in the slot, does some things for you in coverage, but his strength is more Rodney Harrison in the box, playmaking kind of guy. And the question of how, because if he can cover, now he's that much more valuable. That's what makes you the next step. That's why Landry is the top safety, because he can do it all.
Yeah.
Nick also says, I've decided the reason you guys love Griffin is the name recognition with your alter ego, Stewie Griffin.
That could be it.
And Tom, have you watched the tape on any of these guys? Keith Jackson from Arkansas.
I like him.
Nose tackle.
We loved him.
Loved him on Jamal Anderson's highlight tape.
Yeah.
We
don't like Jamal Anderson.
All three of us were like, who's this Keith Jackson guy? And he's pretty impressive.
How about Melvin Bullitt from Texas A&M?
I did not see him.
I can't speak until
Amir Ishmael from Western Michigan. He's a defensive end, outside linebacker.
No, he was not on the tape.
I guess he's one of Rich Gosselin's picks.
Good special teamer then.
I did see the Goose talking about him, but he wasn't on our tape, so we didn't get a chance to see him.
How about Sabby Piscatelli, outside linebacker?
Well, we like him.
I like him a lot.
He's a guy who's not getting. There's a lot of good safeties. I mean, you talk about Rouse and Piscatelli and Josh Gaddis from Wake Forest. Even if the Patriots don't draft a safety in round one, I wouldn't panic because you're going to get some guys in round three that are going to be very good players.
And some of those guys, Rouse, Piscatelli, they're talk about a Tampa 2 kind of Cato June outside linebacker transition for some of the, you know, especially Rouse, who was a linebacker at Virginia Tech, then played safety.
Rouse is a beast.
He could definitely be, and Piscatelli is another guy who's a knock your head off kind of, makes plays, and could be a linebacker.
That's a great name, too. Sabby Piscatelli.
Yeah. I draft him just on that.
Brian is out of the
year.
You'd be a good evaluator.
Good name. Let's get him. Brian is out of the South Dakota State University College of Pharmacy.
Wow.
So that's.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah. He says, hello, A-Team and Fred. Or is it still Frank?
Still Frank.
Okay, tout. No.
I don't mind that.
I have a
I was going to say, he gave himself that nickname.
I didn't give it to myself.
I don't care if people call me Frank either.
Okay.
It really
doesn't
matter.
Yeah, you do.
We'll see how long that lasts.
Deep down inside a little
Frank's
bit.
A better name than Fred.
Frank.
It is.
So you know what? I'm going to change my name. I'm called my Frank now.
Fred, you're a little old to just change your name.
You don't like your name?
It's kind of a guy next door name. You know, Fred.
Frank isn't?
Frank is a little bit, has a little bit more of an edge to it.
He's a strange dude.
How old are you? Like 42? He's looking to get
those
an edge.
Those wheels have been really working this week. I think he's burnt out.
Gary, can you do me a favor?
Gary's too busy playing solitaire.
Could you print out today's transactions
so mad.
From USA Today? The Green Bay Packers.
For the Flintstones theme, Fred.
The Green Bay Packers hired a new vice president, and I'd like you to print that out and have Fred read it on the air.
What's that?
Just don't worry about it. Fred,
go along with the email.
He'll print it, and then you can read it later.
I have a quick question for you guys, says Brian. I've heard talk about the Mike linebacker before, and I'm having trouble understanding exactly what the Mike linebacker does. I also want to say
that I just resubscribed to PFW, and I'm looking forward to next season. Keep up all the great work, even including Fred. P.S. There is a possibility that I could buy you guys lunch if not working on a Wednesday afternoon this summer. We'll have to see how it goes.
This is no freaking good today.
Oh, it's okay.
We appreciate it.
He resubscribed to PFW. You're the one.
Just have it delivered when we're here. We don't care if you're not here.
The Mike linebacker is the strong side inside linebacker. Makes all the calls, calls the play in the huddle, all that stuff.
Yeah,
Teddy Bruschi.
M stands for middle, you know, or inside in a 3-4. So, but he's usually the guy that Brady points to before the snap. Mm-hmm. He calls him out.
Yes.
Brady would identify him before every play.
How often do you think that he's right?
Pretty often, Brady? Except when he plays the Bills and then the next week against the Jets.
Those are the times he was wrong.
And that's why he got blindsided. Could you just read the new VP they signed?
Oh, my goodness. This is thepackers.com. Jones names Vanna Wenhoven and Weed as vice presidents.
Can you spell that?
VannieuWenhoven. Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Hope they call him Van.
Yeah. My God.
Well, it's a woman, isn't it?
Vanna Wenhoven. Oh, here it is. Pronounced Van Evenhoven.
Van Evenhoven. Oh,
Van
that's
Evenhoven.
Much easier.
Yeah. Van Evenhoven.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah.
Even for you, Mankiewicz.
Let's see. Eric in Oklahoma says, Where I'm at, the Pats fans are few and far between, except when they win the Super Bowl. All they show on TV is the Cowboys and the Chiefs. There has been a sweeping movement around here that seems to pity poor old multi-million-dollar Peyton Manning. Everyone I talked to before the Super Bowl told me they just wanted to see him win one. Now that he finally won the big game, thanks to everyone else on the team, all I hear is the comparisons to Brady. I think you can put a fork in the Colts. They're done, and they will never be a dynasty. When you lose many players and coaches and still win consistently, there might be an illegitimate argument. I think he means legitimate. Do you think the Colts are still contenders? Also, you guys are great. Tom, even though I don't always agree with you, you're freaking funny the way you so eloquently use the term douchebag.
Look at that douchebag.
Well, first of all, if you always agreed with me, they should put you to death.
Frank, keep it up and relax. I keep thinking you're going to have a heart attack.
That's a possibility. I have the same concerns.
Well, the Colts are definitely a contender. I mean, maybe they don't even make the playoffs.
Look at their offseason post-Super Bowl. Not good.
Not good. But I'm just saying, you're asking if they're a contender. You still have Peyton Manning. You have to show me that you're not a contender first, because as long as him and Brady are roaming around, those teams will probably be pretty good.
Yep. They lost less talent this year than they did last year.
I'm not talking about the play. I'm talking about the off-field stuff, and they look like a team that just...
What's the off-field stuff?
Did I miss something?
They had some guys. They had four guys arrested so far in the offseason, the Colts.
That played for them last year. Only one of those guys, I believe, Darrell Reed, is the only one that's
on
the team.
Well, this is a team that's not
going to
handle...
Actually, former Patriot Dexter Reed, who was out of work.
He was on the Colts.
And
he's gone now.
And described himself as unemployed when he got arrested, by the way, which I thought was funny. Didn't you think that was funny?
That would be describing himself for the next 30 years.
Whatever. But, I mean, I look, the Colts have that mindset every year, and I don't agree with it, because I don't think, and I say this about Belichick all the time, I don't think you can only do one thing. I don't think you can have one philosophy and succeed long term, although the Colts have proven me wrong. Polian says he doesn't like to sign a lot of free agents.
Right,
I don't think you can succeed doing that. You can, you know, tread lightly and, you know, mix and match and do some different things. He says he likes to do it all through the draft, and he doesn't like to do free agency. It's worked for him.
He's the defending executive of the year and Super Bowl champion.
They've lost a lot of guys over the years, and they've replaced them through the draft. I don't look at this year really as any different. I don't think they lost a tremendous amount of talent. Cato June and Nick Harper are not great players. They're good players, but they're not great, and then they're certainly replaceable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know people look at the numbers. Cato June had a lot of tackles. Well, first of all, teams ran the ball in the Colts 80% of the time pretty much last year. Second of all, he missed more tackles than he made last year.
Watch the first quarter of the Cincinnati Bengals game that they played on that. I think it was a Monday night game.
And the Jacksonville game?
Rudy Johnson
terrible.
Just took him for a ride throughout that first quarter. And then finally, the Colts offense got the lead and Cincinnati stopped running the ball.
Yeah, I know. We got a question this week in SPFW about, well, why would they be interested in John Beeson? Why not just get Cato June? I really can't think of a worse fit for this team than Cato June. I think he would be a terrible fit in New England.
Tim Shaw.
And I think Cato June
a terrible fit football player.
I think Cato June is one of those guys. He does a good job. He's
great in coverage.
He's an undersized guy who does some different things for you. He's an athletic guy. I don't think he's a stiff. I'm not saying that.
No,
you know, I'm trashing him. I don't think he's a great fit for the Patriots because of the system, but I think they'll miss him. But from what I've read in Indianapolis, they have a guy, and I wish I could think of his name right now. One of the listeners might write in, but they have a guy they think is going to replace him, no problem. And they've done that many times in the past. They've had a lot of anonymous cornerbacks like David Macklin and now Nick Harper and guys that, you know, Tyrone Poole was there, you know, many moons ago that they've just brought one in. They bring Marlon Jackson will be fine,
right?
If they choose to put him
and
at
they
cornerback.
Can do that,
and he's not a great player either, but he'll certainly replace Nick Harper.
And they can do that because their strategy is let's hold them to 20 or less,
and
we'll outscore you.
And who's the other guy they had to pick in the Super Bowl for the touchdown?
Hayden.
Yeah, you know.
All right, so then let's put the AFC contenders in order.
I think the Patriots have had the best offseason, and on paper, they're the best team in the AFC.
And give me the top four.
Denver and San Fran play on in the preseason, national TV, so me and you will be going head-to-head. Denver is up there, I would say.
I think San Diego, despite the fact that they haven't had a strong offseason, is still a very talented football team.
This is a tough one. You know,
and Indianapolis
San Diego
is certainly
could
in the mix.
The Ravens could be good
there's
again.
There's going to be teams that sneak up on
I'm
you.
I'm sticking with my Ravens stink.
we'll Pittsburgh
I went down with the ship
right.
last year.
And you don't know.
Don't forget about a team like the Titans. I know the Pac-Man Jones
thing
going
on.
They
came on strong toward the end.
They're coming up
now. You look at how they ended the season with the exception of that game, and they gave the Patriots a good run. They played well toward the end of that season. So there's some teams you just don't know.
There's a lot that you don't know, and there's a lot of moves to be made. Teams haven't even drafted yet. But I look at the regular suspects and the usual suspects in the AFC. I think that are always going to be good teams, and we'll find out who's great.
Patriots,
you know?
Broncos, Colts. That's the order.
San Diego,
I think, has to
be in that mix.
But
San Diego, just based on pure
back.
Talent.
Too much loss of coaching.
Yeah, but turnover over there and all that.
But it's all coaching.
That's a big thing.
If you think that he was the problem. I don't personally think
that
he was the problem. But some
here in the NFL
too,
is
you know,
how important coaches are.
And some people
Bill
think
Belichick
that he was holding them back.
Raved about because, you know, he's the best coach in a coach's league.
Yeah, and Norv Turner, they got to prove it to me on the field first.
Well, I think that their talent is so good that he could Barry Switzer his way to success.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know if it's that good.
I don't know if it's that good either.
I didn't mean to suggest that.
Well, no, I'm just saying.
In any kind of conversation.
No, but we were talking about
the Dallas Cowboys.
We're talking about a team that won two Super Bowls without free agency, compared to a team that's won no Super Bowls and, you know, has free agency to deal with. And
that is widely considered to have a coach that's held them back in two out of the last 3 years. So I'm just saying that maybe the loss of that coach isn't as big a deal as it's being made out to be. That's all.
But the five other coaches that they lost, all that together.
Well, I mean, coaching is coaching. I don't think it's just Marty. I think coaching was considered to be a problem.
Staff stunk, and they'll be better.
I don't know that. I don't watch them closely enough to know.
Well, I think Wade Phillips is obviously kind of a big loss defensively. He's a pretty good coordinator.
I was going to say, think what you want.
But yet you're suicidal over the fact that he's now your head coach.
Well, I don't think he's a good head coach. I think if Norv Turner was the offensive coordinator at San Diego, that'd be a good fit. But as the head coach, I'm not so sure it is.
I'm certainly no huge Norv Turner fan, that's for sure. That's for sure.
So I just think they're one of the intriguing teams this year.
I think they could go either way.
They
can't be dismissed because they have too much talent to just dismiss.
And that's
them.
I think a lot
of people are.
And that's one of the amazing things about the Patriots. Maybe they won't win the Super, but you know they're going to be up there
around
competing.
Oh, yeah.
They're
going to
be consistently, you know. So I think that's
they have their own questions.
Sure, they do.
Have
but you know they're going to compete.
Be honest. Tough schedule. Whole new group of receivers who all have question marks. Defense that's old in places where you don't have any depth, where one, two guys go down and you're Eric Alexander.
Would you rather have started the year with the receivers that they had last year or the receivers they had
this year? I'm just saying there's questions. He's not saying they're not bad.
I understand.
We've all agreed. We all put them at the top of the list.
Did you hear me when I said Patriots,
of course
Broncos, Colts.
Right.
Every team.
But that's if, and I feel the same way, and there's been a lot of talk about the Red Sox and, you know, Daisuke Matsuzaka and Kirchner. Well, they all have questions.
Right.
And if all go on the negative side of that question, you're in trouble.
That's
and if the Patriots, if all these questions go the negative way, you're in trouble. I mean, there's a lot of things that could go wrong, and all of a sudden, it's too competitive. It's just too competitive,
sure
where if a few things go wrong, you're all of a sudden looking up at people instead of running away from them.
Right. If it's week four and Brewski, Harrison, and Maroney are all hurt,
right,
that you might
right
be in trouble.
And
is
Dante
worth,
Stallworth
is
already
worth
has hamstring
about
issues?
That because that's the same for every
no,
team.
Well,
no,
we're just
no,
saying.
But the point that we're trying to make is there are certain areas that they're very thin in.
Right.
So
and
that would be the question. You know, you made the comment, Fred, that every team at this time of year has questions. Well, that's probably the number one question for the Patriots because
right
I think they've done a great job of supplementing their roster with talent. I mean, Thomas, you talk about one player who fills a bigger need more effectively than Adalys Thomas does. You're not going to find a single transaction in the NFL so far that fills a need as well as that one did
right
for the Patriots.
And
I mean, that's just a
when we
the
talk
best
about,
signing you could possibly
when we talk
have
about questions and things going the wrong way, you're talking about comparing them to the top three or four best teams in the conference, not comparing them
right
to
right
the Bills.
Right.
You're
look
talking about can they be the best? Can they be a one or a two seed? That's what they should be fighting for next December, a one or a two seed.
And one of the questions you don't have to worry about is backup nose tackle because Lakeven Smith's got that job locked up, baby.
I can't wait till he gets cut.
Let's see. Sean is from Brockton. He says, let me say that I love your broadcast. Wanted to comment on your recent Peyton Manning versus Tom Brady segment. I'm a diehard Patriot fan from Brockton, Mass., who has been living in Fort Myers for the last 8 years. I'm excited that Manning has won a Super Bowl, and I'm hoping that it puts a fire under Tom Brady's ass to be better than ever. I know he has not had the greatest receiving core, but I'm getting the sense that since he has three Super Bowl rings, maybe the fire in his belly might be diminishing.
Maybe he went to Africa.
Perhaps the newfound rivalry will reignite things for Tom. What do you think? P.S. I'm surprised you guys don't sometimes recommend D'Angelo's subs, specifically the number 9. We don't have a D'Angelo's here. We'll always take.
We did until the health code violations shut it down.
Yeah, we don't have a D'Angelo.
What's going on with that D'Angelo? Are they going to reopen? Because they haven't taken
so
the sign down. There was a D'Angelo's down the street from us that opened up. I used to go there a lot. And now
I like
they closed it.
But the one here
it
apparently wasn't very healthy.
Really?
Isn't that where you took me out to lunch my first day?
I think so, yeah.
Thanks.
That wasn't rat poop.
Nice hotel.
Oh, yes, it was.
Nice lunch.
I didn't,
you did a hell of a guy,
I didn't
Frank
know it was health violations.
Yeah.
I thought they just weren't making any money.
No, Board of Health, whatever, shut it down.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
But I'm not a huge D'Angelo
fan. People are still
anyway
upset with Tom over his cheap tipping comment over Ben Watson.
I'm not talking about that anymore, so you can read the email.
They should
want
be, Fred.
You don't want me to read the email?
Oh, you can. I'm just not discussing
says,
the tipping.
He says, anymore. I don't think Ben Watson is a cheap tipper. I think your girlfriend probably gave shitty
Fred
bad service and is lucky she got anything. She probably has a poor attitude like you. You're so tough.
Who's this?
That was a good email.
Fouts.
Fouts. Well, I'm sure you
Danny
know,
Fouts.
I'm sure
bringing
you,
it.
I thought you weren't going to talk
but
about that.
No, I'm
well,
sure.
Well,
I'm,
you're,
whoa.
You're saying,
no, right? I'm not talking about that. I'm sure you probably have never kissed a girl. But let's suppose that you have a wife. I'm sure she's fat and disgusting. Now, do you guys know what Hagen is? Hagen is when you go out, you get
right
so knee-walking drunk, you bring this fat slob back to your house,
right,
and you can't even see it. You just stick it in the first hole you can find.
Ah.
Bring your wife over, and that's what I'll do to her.
Okay.
You're absolutely right. I have no idea what Hagen is, and I've never participated in anything.
For the
like
record,
that
Fred said that word but didn't say the word piss.
what
a
job,
weird filter there.
I used to work at a
good
club
discretion.
I used to work at a club on the Cape called the Compass Lounge. Remember it?
Is anyone near Puffer Bellies?
Well, it was in South Yarmouth, Puffer Bellies and Hyannis, but they used to have a night called Whole Hog Night, and that was their ladies'
and
night.
This guy's wife would probably show up there and...
Okay.
That's a new sound.
I'm glad Tom wasn't going to comment on the
yeah
email.
No,
the
I said
no.
I said I wasn't going to comment on the tipping.
Oh, okay.
Now, I did say that.
Why, when someone makes fun of you, do you get so personal? We had an email that kind of... You know, ran this down.
No,
a little
he didn't
bit
make
earlier
fun of me. He made fun of my fiance. That's different.
Yeah.
So if you'd like to come up here and see me face to face, I'll show you how goddamn tough I am. I'll rip your freaking head off. Sorry, Fred. Your little speech at the review doesn't count when they make fun of people.
I think they were kind of mad at the tipping thing more than anything else.
Well, then make fun of me.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty easy.
I think they did.
George says, "Hey guys, ask Tom the Man Casale how is Quadrine Hill. He's got skills and decent speed, and for what I've been able to find out about him, thanks." It's from GR in Goffstown, New Hampshire. And also, will the Pats combine their picks for Willis or Landry?
Well, Hill's just, he's one of those pass-catching fullbacks. He was at Miami. I don't think he's going to make the team or anything, so I wouldn't get too excited about him.
Yeah, I don't think Ben Watson is a cheap tipper. I think your girlfriend probably gave
goes, oop, oop.
You know, trying to read those emails.
Wadrien Hill, practice
don't
squad
we have
guy.
A delay, yeah. Gary? We don't have a
no,
delay?
No, we do not.
The latency of the internet doesn't provide a delay?
Yeah. I mean, you know.
A way for them to hear it.
Ed's out of
there. Really isn't a delay. We learned that the day the guy called, and we could hear ourselves in the background almost live.
Ed is either out of Virginia or his name is Ed Virginia. I don't know. But he says, lately there have been durability
Fred
questions.
Either can't read or he's an idiot.
You read this. It says Ed Virginia. All right?
I trust you, okay. Fred. I told the old Paul might have jumped in with Andy there, but not anymore.
Well, Virginia is a last name.
Yes,
Virginia.
There is a Santa Claus.
Oh, boy.
Sorry.
Lately, there have been durability questions of Maroney and whether he can carry the full load. Personally, I think he can. I think that he runs with aggressiveness, and he thinks that it is a sin to go to the sidelines. I think that the Patriots would have trouble trying to force Maroney to have a less aggressive running style, and I think it would hurt his production. I think the training staff should try to bulk him up a little bit more. He could add about 10 pounds to his upper body without losing speed. He has the frame to do this. His upper body is not that big. I think the only reason that he was so unproductive in the playoffs is because he changed his running style from the beginning of the season and tried to dance around and avoid contact because of his injuries. But if he wants to be durable for a whole season with his style of running, he needs to be 230 instead of 220.
First of all, he has a pretty good build in his upper body.
Yeah, he's huge.
Second of all, have you ever seen an athlete who already worked out, already was in good shape, just put on him, I'm just going to throw 10 pounds of muscle on my upper body. Well, Barry Bonds aside and some of those guys.
And not,
it's
lose,
not that easy
and
to
not
do.
And not lose speed.
Right, and not lose speed. I mean, it's not. You don't just snap your fingers.
I think that.
It's not that immediate and
not
that
gained,
easy.
Because he gained, when we talk about these college guys maybe putting on weight like a Jarvis Moss, you have to remember, Maroney put on 10 to 12 pounds from his college days. Yeah. So now you're asking for another 10.
I think Maroney is certainly big enough and he's fast enough. I like him a lot. Durability is definitely a question. I don't think that you gain durability by adding 10 pounds.
Right.
I don't think that that happens. All that does is increase the amount of hits you're going to get because I don't care. You put
Fred
on 10
Taylor's
pounds.
Fred Taylor's 235.
You put on 10 pounds, you're going to lose some of your elusiveness and your speed. I don't care how good you
Plus,
are.
Plus, it's just irrelevant.
It's
going
to happen.
Whether he had 10 pounds or not, he was tearing
rip cartilage. Warwick Dunn's been pretty good over his career as a little guy. It's just a matter of
and what does Warwick
avoiding
Dunn do sometimes?
Hits.
Go down. Well, what that guy said is Maroney thinks it's a sin to go to the sideline.
No, he says he I thought he said he thought it was a sin to go to the
sideline. No,
Maroney said Maroney. I think that could get him in trouble.
Well,
there's times when you need to go down.
Discretion sometimes is the better part of valor. I think you have to pick your spots.
I think I heard that before.
Well, it's a cliche. Of course you have.
I know. I'm kidding, you idiot.
I'm surprised you have because it's been around before 1985.
Which is why I said what I said, Fred, because I just assumed that.
Just
so
you know.
Is that a saying?
In all likelihood, I probably thought it was like discretion is the better part of velour. Velour?
All right. Nick also has some emails again. He's got some trivia for us. You want to go for it? Trivia questions?
Sure.
According to Lenny Pasquarelli of ESPN, since the league changed the division in 2002, 22 of 32 teams have won their division. Can you name the other 10?
Cleveland.
Cleveland is one.
Houston.
Buffalo.
Houston is another.
Miami.
Buffalo. Miami is
Arizona.
Correct. Arizona is correct.
Washington.
Washington's correct.
Dallas.
Dallas is correct.
How many
I think you're only missing one. You're missing one.
I think their defense is
two.
Jacksonville.
Jacksonville is the other.
Houston. Detroit.
You're missing one. You already said Houston.
Did we say Detroit?
No, and that's it. So you got all ten.
I can't tell you that only five teams in football since that have not made the playoffs, and two of those reside in the AFC East.
Dallas is one. Right?
No, the AFC.
AFC East.
The Patriots division, Buffalo and Miami, have never made the playoffs since 2000.
Tell that guy to...
There's only five teams in football that haven't made the playoffs since 2002, and two of them are in the AFC East.
Tell that guy to forward that to Jerry Jones. Let him know what a great job he's doing down there.
Can you name the top two schools Bill has drafted players from, including while he was in Cleveland?
Purdue.
No.
I couldn't tell you.
Number one is Notre Dame. He's taken
Stanford.
Six. And number two
touchdown
is Baylor.
Baylor.
We got him taking another one this year. C.J. Wilson.
We love C.J. Wilson, but Kelly. I know two. Willie Andrews, Ethan Kelly.
Okay, and what conference does Bill draft from the most?
SEC.
SEC.
would be a guess.
They're number two.
Dar?
They're number two. Number one is Big 12 is number one. 17 players, 13 out of the SEC. Here's one for the homers. How many Northeastern players have been drafted all time?
Not too many.
Six.
10.
Six.
I'll go with 10.
Paul's very close. Nine.
Nine.
Which I find really funny, says Nick, because my school, George Washington, hasn't had a football team since 1958, and they have 20.
I knew where that was going.
Who is the highest drafted player by Bill?
The guy
Eric Turner.
Eric Turner is correct at 91.
That's the trivia question Andy gave me like 2 weeks ago.
Slightly different form, but.
There have been three Super Bowls where the starting quarterbacks were drafted by the same team. Can you name either the Super Bowls or the sets of quarterbacks?
Last year.
What's the question?
Am I not understanding the question?
It says there have been three Super Bowls where the starting quarterbacks.
Two quarterbacks on the same
team. Both of the quarterbacks.
Were drafted by one team.
Right, right.
But it doesn't matter if the team was involved in the Super Bowl.
I'll give you one question. Answer out of all of them. 99, Elway versus Chandler, both were technically drafted by the Colts.
So I don't want to give much more thought to this then.
Okay, so 78, Staubach versus Morton, both were drafted by Dallas. And 83, Theismann versus David Woodley, both by the Dolphins. How many quarterbacks...
That's a trivia question in itself. Who drafted Joe Theismann?
How many quarterbacks that the Pats have drafted have played in the Super Bowl, in a Super Bowl?
Bledsoe, Brady, Plunkett.
Five. Gannon.
Gannon.
Oh, Gannon.
He doesn't list Gannon.
Well, that's one.
Didn't he play in the Super Bowl?
Patriots drafted him,
and he played in Super Bowl 37.
Right.
So you have Plunkett, Grogan, Eason.
Oh, Eason, I forgot.
Eason, yep.
Bledsoe, Brady, Gannon.
Does Grogan count? Six. Does Grogan count?
He's got Grogan in it.
Because he didn't start.
He didn't start, but he just said played.
So six.
All right, so that's six.
Yeah, he's got Plunkett, Brady, Bledsoe, Eason, and Grogan.
Gannon.
So he's missing Gannon. He's missing Gannon. Okay. Who was the highest drafted player on the Patriots roster last year?
Richard Seymour?
Seymour would be my first guess, but
it can't be. It'd be
not drafted by the Patriots.
I mean, somebody drafted 5-4-3.
Right, right.
I know the answer now because Gary gave it to me, but you should get it.
Oh, Seau.
Yeah.
Seau, right. Fifth overall by San Diego. This year it's Seymour, sixth overall.
Well, as of right now. All right. It'd be Seau again.
Who is number two this year? Seymour's number one. Who's number two this year?
Ty Warren.
Stallworth.
No.
I would have said Stallworth.
It's not like Ty Brady. Warren?
Think old drafts and clips that they play on ESPN.
I like Brady.
That everyone is funny.
Oh, Kyle Brady.
Kyle Brady.
Yeah. He was like ninth.
Right,
something.
Ninth. Okay, great. And P.S., it's good to see Fred wasn't caned while in the Orient.
He might have been, but he can't talk about it.
Who wants to know?
My back hurts. Remember that kid that was supposed to get caned back then in Thailand or something like that?
Yeah.
Whatever. He got out of that, right? Yeah. Ben from Boxborough. He should have just taken his licks.
You don't like Ben from
Make
Boxborough.
Make sure you tell your friends you heard it on PVN.
He could win me back by buying lunch.
Do you think there is a possibility for someone like Leon Hall, Patrick Willis, or Reggie Nelson to fall all the way down to 24 or 28? I know guys like Mel Kiper have the Pats taking two of those three, but let's face it, that's probably a stretch. On the other hand, maybe he is seeing something there. Could there be a situation similar to Jimmy Williams of Virginia Tech last year where he is regarded as the best corner in the draft but ended up falling all the way to round two? And you could even throw Chad Jackson into the mix where the Pats considered taking him at 21.
Well, I think Hall could definitely slip.
Yep.
I mean, right now I have him battling like that third, fourth spot at cornerback. I know a lot of people have him in the top 15. I think that's way too high for him. So I think he's a guy that could definitely fall.
I think
Nelson maybe
too.
A little bit. I don't think out of the first round, though. I think
No.
Hall,
no, down to 24.
Down to 24. Yeah. I think any
of the three could. I think Willis would be the least.
Could.
I think Willis would be the least likely, but I think any of the three.
And
could,
I think
this is a really wide open year that a lot of funny things could happen.
I still don't
think
Nelson will fall. I think he could, but I don't think he will. Out of those three, I would say Hall probably have the best chance of being on the board.
All right. Let's see. Jay writes in. He's from the UK. He says, I don't have a question, more general support for Tom.
after last week's debacle. I mean, come on. Are we actually meant to take you guys seriously? Like you said, aside from some of you being draft experts, you're just a bunch of guys talking about football, no different than a bunch of fans in a bar, except the fact that you get paid for it.
And we're smarter.
Unless you're talking about the draft or Patriots transactions, the rest of what you do is mostly opinion, and I think it's great. I found the discussion over the tipping quite funny and was in no way annoyed over Tom, God forbid, insulting a Pats player. Makes me wonder what Tom would be like as a Bengals fan on their radio, as there's more ammo there than at Tank Johnson's house.
I'd kill on Bengals.com.
Whether you're man-crushing on LeRon Landry, bashing on Polsnusi, whatever his name is, begging for food, or ridiculing Frank slash Fred, just keep up the great work.
Well, thanks. We appreciate the support. The few supporters that we have.
Say, at least there's one out there.
And he's halfway around the world.
All right.
I got a growing fan club.
In the UK.
Patsfans.com?
Do you guys have a...
I would start hiring Kyle to start your car for you before you leave here every night. That's all I'm saying.
I don't care. The more times they put me in their headlines, the better.
Sure.
That's what I say.
What headlines would those be?
Tom Casale is a douchebag.
I missed that article.
No, PatFans.com. I mean, put me in. I got a call from Sirius Radio to do a gig Saturday. How'd you find out about me? Oh, we were on the message boards and your name kept popping up. Figured you must have something to say.
That's great. Who are you on with on Sirius?
I wrote it down. I never heard of the show.
Speaking of Sirius, are you going to get that thing this year, the stiletto? Are you going to re-up for that this Christmas? Try to get back?
I might. Yeah.
It's worth, I mean, they've got, I told you, they've got this new thing, Hardcore Sports.
Mm-hmm.
Where they say bad words.
Yeah, you love that.
It's called PFW in progress. So.
It is what it is.
Ravi, girlfriend probably gave I'd like to talk about the Redskins-Bears trade. There's a possibility that they might swap first-round choices, 6th and 31st, for Lance Briggs to the Redskins. According to the draft value chart, that makes Lance Briggs worth about 1,000 points or the 16th pick in the draft. That seems slightly below where Patrick Willis would be picked in the current mock drafts. Couldn't the Pats put together some kind of similar package for Lance Briggs if the 16th pick is all that the Bears think he's worth? Trading for Briggs seems slightly cheaper or the same as trading up for Willis, and the Pats would be getting an already proven player. What do you guys think about that?
Well, in addition to making the trade, you'd have to give him a long-term extension, which I'm sure the Patriots could do. I'm not sure if they look at the value of that. But that, I mean, no questions asked. He's not – you're going to have the same problem if you trade for him and
– you got to pay him.
You don't pay him, so.
And the other issue is he as good a fit? I know he's more proven because he's been in the NFL, but is Patrick Willis a better fit for your needs and your system?
Everything else aside, forget about salary, draft value. Who would you rather have right now, Patrick Willis or Lance Briggs?
Lance Briggs.
Really?
By a mile.
Okay.
I'd take Patrick Willis because I'm in love with him.
No, I agree with Tom here wholeheartedly. I mean,
I don't like Lance Briggs.
I'll take the proven.
I lost a lot.
I'll take the proven commodity over the draft pick.
Yeah, I mean,
LeRon
Landry could be a bust. We don't know. He hasn't played in the NFL.
I'd take Ed Reed over LeRon Landry.
I think Lance Briggs, I lost a lot of respect for him when he bitched and moaned about the fact that everybody thinks Brian Urlacher is the best player on that defense.
And you don't like anyone saying anything bad about your guy.
No. You're good. Just play football. People will notice you're good. I've heard plenty of people around here after that Bears game said, I don't know, Urlacher gets all the credit, but Lance Briggs was flying around. Don't bitch and moan and whine about people saying you're good.
I just think he's frustrated because the team's not, in his mind, treating him fairly.
I think frustration came out in the money and all that other stuff. I don't want to be a Bear anymore.
Well,
I
look what that team did to their coach.
I think he's trying to shoot his way out of town. He's saying as many derogatory things about Chicago as he can.
I think the part about never being the guy was a picture into who he is inside.
Well,
he's an I guy.
I have no problem with that as long as he can play, because they're all I guys.
As long as he's the I guy until he sulks. Oh, wait, I wasn't the I guy this week. I'm going to go home and sell.
I missed the part of his career where he didn't play well because he was I then. I mean, he's trying to tell me that this is just...
I don't watch every Bears game, but I assume he's had one game where he didn't play quite as well as the rest.
Well, and you're assuming that that's because he was complaining that Brian Urlacher was getting all the attention.
No, I'm saying... I think what he said was a window into who he is inside, and I don't like him.
In other words, he doesn't like him.
Right. I was going to say, I'm not taking your opinion away
from
you.
And I like Willis
better. I'm just saying that I think that he's a much better player. I don't even think he's close. He's a guy that's a Pro Bowl caliber player already established in the prime of his career. I don't even think it's worth discussing, to be honest with you. But that's my opinion.
Sorry. talking now. This is Paul's show, and he decides what's worth discussing.
You're the only one that can have just drop-dead opinions about anything?
No, but I didn't say it wasn't worth discussing.
I think that's me.
I just don't understand.
Let's move on. It's not worth discussing. Fred, next email.
No, wow, he's shutting you off, Paul.
No, he shut me off.
You did catch it. I'm glad that you caught the way the flow of that went.
I see what's going on here.
He was done, so the argument's
exactly.
No, I was told I was done by Paul.
This new gentler Paul's a fraud. It's only towards Fred. Now he's attacking
us. I haven't done anything to you yet.
That's true.
We got time, though. We got time.
All right. Moving on.
But one more thing?
Yeah.
Paul's not done.
No,
he's got to keep going.
One more thing about the trade. What? Chicago obviously doesn't think that that's all Lance Briggs is worth. Otherwise, they would have traded him. Right. That's what Washington wants.
I think
Chicago wants more.
Chicago has said forget it, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Very publicly. And they've also chastised Washington for talking
going
about it
public.
In public.
Right. RJ in Vegas, baby, says, good afternoon, accountability buddies.
He lives in Vegas, baby.
For the record, whoever thinks that the South Park Tom and Andy referred to isn't funny needs to be slapped.
Yep.
So I work very closely with a huge San Diego fan, and he was telling me that Michael Turner is on the market. Well, he's close to going somewhere.
Tennessee. Roaming around there.
What's your feeling on this guy? I know from watching games with my friend that he's a beast. And last season, he averaged 6.3 yards a carry. NFL.com says he's meeting with the Titans this week. Any chance our camp will reach out to him? With all the questions about Maroney's durability, wouldn't someone solid like Turner be a good candidate to back him up or become a 1-2 punch?
Sure.
Or is he too much of a back for the job? Thanks, guys. You rock.
No, he's a starter. I mean, teams are looking to get him to be a starter.
Right. And he's looking to go somewhere to be a starter.
Yeah.
He can be a second back to a great one in Ian Tomlinson and stay right where he is.
Okay, I'll go back to my kindler, gentler ways, Tom. I couldn't agree more with what Andy just said.
That means I'm done talking now. Move on.
Well, let's see. Matt is from Southie, and he says B-Low is a douchebag.
I agree.
Where that comes from.
Here comes the best email
of all time. Since we don't have food, this is the emailer of the week.
He says, hey, Frank, nice job in China. Whatever you said got us out of the game. On to my point. Is it me or is Denver looking scary this year? Dre Bly is a huge addition. I think he's going to be an unbelievable compliment to Champ Bailey. On the offensive side, Travis Henry could have a monster year. Statistically, I think he had his best season last year with Tennessee, and with Denver's propensity to turn every running back into a potential Pro Bowler, he could have a huge year, especially with Mike Bell backing him up. What's your take on him? Do you think he's going to be a significant improvement over Tatum Bell? The Pats' recent history against the Broncos isn't impressive to begin with, and with these additions, I think it's going to be even more difficult. As for you, Paul.
Yes.
This new kindler / gentler Paul has to go.
It already did.
You're an email too late.
Only on Andy.
This is Boston, not Austin. We're mass holes. It's in our nature. If you keep bottling up your douchiness, you're going to end up teeing off on Frank for an entire 2 hours one of these weeks. You're starting to sound like the Butters from South Park. Keeping with the Butters. South Park theme, Frank, you're pretty much Mr. Mackey. The guidance counselor. Okay.
Oh, he got it.
He did it.
We thought you'd screw that up.
I thought you would say
M-K.
Tom, there's no denying it. You're Cartman. I've never seen you, but I imagine you've got a face for radio. As for Andy, you're the Kenny of the group. Occasionally, if I listen really hard, I can make out what you're saying, and it's usually pretty entertaining. But most of the time, all I can hear are just barely audible noises. The only thing worthwhile you mentioned last week was that comment about lobster being overrated. Let's face it, they're just vehicles for butter. They're bottom feeders who eat you-know-what and turn that you-know-what into butter-coated crap. Having said that, I'm off to Yankee Lobster to shell out $12 for two scoops of crap and a hot dog roll. And P.S., this gets back to the title of this email. Who the hell is B-Low?
Boring!
I did notice a plaque bearing his name in Connie Forum this winter. Is that him? You guys are always riding him. I have no idea who he is.
That's going to really hurt him.
Does he have a plaque in Conti Forum?
I don't know what that means.
Boston College?
B-Low is also the retarded brother in Borat.
Is he?
Yeah, he has a retarded brother that they call B-Low.
Really?
B-Low is the head of PVN. Apparently you do not watch.
You have to watch Patriots Today on Patriots.com.
Yeah, Patriots Today or whatever.
There's no more PVN anymore?
It's now Patriots Today.
And it's on Patriots.com?
And Comcast.
Oh, wow.
When did this happen?
Things happen.
Yeah. Yeah. You were away.
Quietly.
That was a shuffle. It was probably one of those weeks.
We only wake you up for the important meetings.
Bilo's still irrelevant. And what's Yankee Lobster? Never heard of that.
It's probably like Red Lobster, something like that.
Where was that email sent from? Sorry, forget it. Just move on.
I can't go back. If I go back, the whole thing blows up.
If you want to know who Bilo is, listen to one of our podcasts, and you'll hear him talk for about 20 minutes straight.
It's the annoying guy who babbles, says everything, and then tries to pose the last word as a question.
It's kind of like the emails we get where we get the someone's entire opinion, and at the end, your thoughts.
It was from Matt and Southie.
I was going to say,
Matt and Southie.
That's every SPFW we've ever gotten.
Yankee Lobster?
Yankee Lobster apparently is local.
Gary? What is that?
You frequent all the local establishments. You ever heard of that?
Oh.
Okay, play your game.
Sawyer from Waterloo, Iowa says, since we have to hear about American Idol every week, let's compare it to your show. Paul would be Randy. Instead of saying dog every other word, he has that awesome Boston accent, and you never know what kind of mood he'll show up in. Andy would be Ryan. Both are little guys, hey. And Ryan seems to think highly of himself, which means he has a big head. Need I say more? Also, they really don't add a lot to the show.
Very accurate.
The straw that stirs the drink, just like Seacrest.
Tom reminds me of Simon. They come across as a couple of jackasses. They tend to rub people the wrong way, and they have a cocky attitude, but they do make the show fun and are usually right. That leaves Paul.
See, that's the only difference.
Simon usually is right.
I'm always right.
Tom, not so much.
That leaves Fred and Paula. They seem to be nice people. Most people like them, but most of the time people think they are drunk.
Wow, Fred.
You took that well.
That's all right.
All right, listen up, dog. All right now? All right, check it out now, dog.
He's moody. I don't watch your show enough to know.
A little bit. I understand.
I agree
what
that Paul is moody. Yeah.
Every once in a while, he'll get in one of those.
I always just
moods.
Think he's the same. The yo 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 dog. Just didn't feel it tonight. A little
all
picky.
Right. All right. Now check it out
okay,
now, dog.
No,
all right
yeah.
now. I kind of I caught the vibe you were going with there. You know, I think this was a good song for you. A good song choice. Just didn't really work for me though, dog. Says the
all
same
right,
thing
Fred.
To every guy. And then Paula goes, "Well, you look really nice." Okay. What does that mean? And then
okay.
Simon tells them what they think.
Just so you know, Paul, no one's listening to you. We're watching the Spanish station on TV.
No, that's okay. I'd be watching the Spanish station too if it wasn't behind me.
You know I don't speak Spanish. In English, please.
Let's see. Steve is from Lincoln, Nebraska. And he says, I'm no Kyle Pasady, but let's do the math.
Thank God for you.
Fred Kirsch goes to China. Fred Kirsch returns from China. The China trip is canceled. Fred, please tell me you didn't get drunk, go up to the dictator of China, and ask Dong, where is my automobile?
Dong!
Like
Dong.
Peter Griffin did on Family Guy.
That's where it's from. I knew I had heard it somewhere like that.
Either way, thanks for getting the game canceled because it was a terrible idea from the start. Also, Tom, keep making fun of those message board geeks who hate you. Not only is it funny, but it's great to go on there an hour later and hear them all complain that you don't like them. You should go to the next Star Trek convention and just kick the hell out of all those losers. Oh, and if you guys can guess correctly, the Patriots' 2 first-round picks on your show the Wednesday before the draft, I'll buy you lunch for the month of May.
There's
you're
no
on
way
the
that,
clock.
That's quite a challenge, but there's no way that's happening.
But we're going to try.
We'll give it a
give
shot.
Give it a shot. That's something to do the next 3 weeks.
We'll give it a shot.
Yeah. Dong.
Now,
Dong.
How does that, what does it say? If you guys predict correctly?
Yeah.
So we can do 4 different.
No, we get to come up with our pick.
Collectively?
Yeah. I say we come out with 4 different ones.
The PFW
raise our chances.
Yes.
Well, that way he would only have to buy it for that guy who gets it.
I'll roll the dice.
So will I with your picks.
All right, Gary, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Hey, sweetie, when I picked up the dry cleaning today, I put 43 cents into our savings.
I'll alert the media.
Introducing Keep the Change from Bank of America.
And at lunch, I put away 61 cents.
Really? That much?
Each time you buy something with your Bank of America Visa check card, we round up the amount to the next dollar and transfer your change from your checking to your savings account.
I checked online, and so far we've saved $2.25.
Wow. A whole $2.25.
Try $225.
Oh.
Plus, we'll match 100% of your Keep the Change savings for the first 3 months and continue matching 5% up to $250 a year.
I'm back from the store. Just saved 8 cents.
I'll alert the media.
Open a checking account and keep the change. Only at Bank of America. Higher standards. Match paid annually after anniversary of enrollment. Savings accounts include regular savings with annual percentage yield of 0.5%. Member FDIC. Patent pending.
Breaks a tackle. Drives it upfield. To the 10. To the 5. Touchdown. Benjamin Watson.
From a first-round draft pick in 2004 to owning the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history, Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champs.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Now you can get an official mini replica helmet exclusively from the New England Patriots signed by Benjamin Watson free. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini-replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact, too. Autographed mini-helmet limited to your first 400 of qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
All right, back here at PFW in Progress. Fred, Andy, Tom, and Paul. Gary in the booth. We'll be here until 2 o'clock. And, of course, we're here every Wednesday, 12 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time, here on Patriots.com Radio. And the emails are just flying in. It's just everybody has something to say about something.
You know what's not flying in? An order of food.
Well, that's interesting that you say that, because Sean McLaughlin says, I want to deliver food for you guys, but want to make sure all four of you were there on Wednesday. We're here.
We were.
So when Paul has his second child, the food will be there. With that in mind, let's ask questions for you guys to answer. One, I know this subject has been tackled, but does the need for a first-round inside linebacker not a big priority with maybe Mike Vrabel moving to the inside? And do you feel Vrabel is a better inside or outside backer?
Probably a little bit better on the outside, right?
He was. At this point, I'm not sure.
I'm not sure.
It's hard to tell.
Yeah. I don't like him as an inside linebacker.
You guys have been here longer than I have, so you've seen him.
I don't think he's the player.
All I know is that when he's played inside linebacker, the Patriots' defense has done pretty well. You know?
I would disagree with that.
I think he's a pretty good inside linebacker.
I think they've lacked some pass rush, though. Don't you think they've lacked some pass rush? With him not being there?
Absolutely.
Yeah, but that's the question, though. With him on the outside now at this stage of his career, does he offer that much in
Well, you don't have to worry about it now because you got someone who
right.
can do
right.
it.
So. Right, right. So, let's see. Two, why is B-Lo hosting Patriots today? Pats fans want Laurie. No offense, B-Lo.
Laurie!
Wait a minute. When
You're the first person that ever said
when
that.
When Laurie started doing it, we got all these people saying B-Lo was supposed to.
Because they're never happy.
No one's happy.
You do join Dick for a little while.
Three, when is the Drew Bledsoe retirement announcement, Paul?
I would hope soon, but I'm getting worried now.
How's it going to go? Is it just going to be a statement released by his agent?
He doesn't have to do anything. Just
maybe
retire.
He signs with the Patriots.
Does
for
he retire
one day,
as a Patriot?
One-day contract.
No, it's not Tom Brady. He doesn't have to hold a press
he's
conference.
He's no Otis Smith.
I hope he doesn't do any of that
Didn't
nonsense
Otis Smith
stuff.
Do that? Sign a one-day deal to retire as a Patriot.
Yeah, last year, right?
Thought so.
I hope he doesn't do any of that nonsense, because I really don't like that, but... That's one of those, what do you call it? Rule number 17.3.
Hey, yeah. Paul, you're not thinking of Eric. That's a daily update right there.
Well,
press conference.
It's also a
go.
Feature.
But all he has to do is retire, and it's a daily update.
The booze? They're saying Drew.
I never heard that one.
No, they're not.
Four, if Troy Brown...
As far as you know.
They haven't been saying Drew in 10 years.
If Troy Brown re-signs, as predicted, and Chad Jackson is healthy... If you gents had a gun to your head right now, how many receivers do the Pats take And who are they?
Stallworth.
Yeah.
Welker.
Oh,
Washington.
Six.
Caldwell. Washington. Brown. Jackson.
You take, I see Caldwell was my wild card there.
He might be
Mine, my first cut.
But
I think
Kelly Washington might be my first cut.
I think Caldwell, Gaffney, Washington, in that trio, at least one of those guys has a very good chance to not be on
the
team.
I agree with that. Yep.
But I would keep six guys, and especially because I don't think, like Andy pointed out earlier, I don't think Chad Jackson is going to be on the opening day roster, on the active roster. He'll be on PUP in my mind.
Okay.
Despite the reports that came out.
Five, Tom Casale gets too much bashing on PatsFans.com. I enjoy your draft analysis, Tom, and as always, you do a great job. It's a shame Fred wasted 3 days in China last week since they're not going for 2 years.
Well, as we've already pointed out, he didn't waste them. He was over there getting the game.
he did his job.
Highly productive trip.
Belichick, before you left, did Belichick slip you a couple of hundreds and say, keep it fair, keep it fair? See if we can get rid of this game.
All right. Let's see. Russell.
All right.
Is now, he says,
he just puts me on the pay no mind list.
Russell, is that early Doucette?
Yeah, he's frying in
the
Palm
He's the number
Springs
one rated
right
receiver coming out in next year's draft.
Early Doucette?
Yep.
He says, could the stars be aligning more? No opening Thursday night or Thanksgiving, and now the China trip is as history as Chairman Mao. Guess it's just the local Chinese buffets for you boys. What is the timetable for Samuel to sign the franchise contract or for them to work out a long-term deal? Also, has all the spending put the Patriots in a bad cap position a few years down the road when Warren and Wilfork come up for renewal? I would also like your reviews of Woodley in case Willis slips away before the Pats can scoop him, and is Willis as a sure thing as can be in a draft or closer to loads of potential?
Well, Russell, you could go online because we just posted that defensive ends. And in our humble opinion, we have Woodley.
First of all, you're not that humble.
We
go
have
on. At all.
Well, we have Woodley ranked number one. I mean, that doesn't include Gaines Adams, obviously. We're talking about out of the 3-4 type guys. I just think he's a heck of a football player. I mean, Andy and Paul agree with me. We keep hearing that he can't play the 3-4 because he can't cover. And I wrote in my thing, and I'll ask you guys right now, how many times a game does Roosevelt Colvin actually drop back in coverage? Is it a lot?
Never.
Because he's not that great against the run, right? No. Woodley is stout against the run. He gets to the quarterback. I don't understand why he can't be a 3-4 outside linebacker.
I think Andy said it last week, too, and I think that the bottom line with Woodley is when you have the talent, I'll find a way to use you. And whether he might not fit perfectly into any one thing, but he shows that he can do all of those things well.
Right.
Not like a guy who's just versatile. Well, he might be able to do that. You know, Eric Weddle, a lot of people talk about as being able to do a lot of different things, but I don't see him doing them at the level that he's going to need to do one or two of those at the NFL level. Woodley does. He gets after the passer. I think he's big enough to be stout against the run. I don't think he's probably a perfect fit in the 3-4, but I think he's good enough that Belichick will find a way to make him a good player.
And he's not – we talked about Cato June earlier. He's not that far from the fit for your system where you can't make it work.
Right.
You can make it work. I mean, they tried to make Dan Klecko a linebacker for this team because he was – they thought he was a good football player.
They thought he fit into that category.
So,
he's just such
I think
a good
Lamar
player.
Woodley is – light years and generations ahead of whatever Dan Klecko was as a football player, maybe more athletic. The guy looks like he's shot out of a frickin' cannon when this ball is snapped.
Hey, that's funny.
Gets
that's
to the quarterback.
That's the wording I used. Shot out of
pretty
a cannon.
Pretty common.
No, but
not exactly.
You don't think that's kind of funny that's the way I described him online? And you
well,
just
not
said
with
same
you
thing.
Guys and your lack of creativity.
But, Andy, don't you think, okay, let's say they don't go for him 24. You're sitting there at 28 and Lamar Woodley's on the board, and you say that the Patriots draft for value. There's no better value on the board at 28 than Lamar Woodley. And if you drafted an Eric Weddle over Lamar Woodley, I'd throw up in my mouth.
Well, it wouldn't be Weddle in my mind. A guy... that
Gonzalez,
seems to be,
anybody.
Joe like Staley seems to be the guy because people think he could be the best tackle in the draft. Now, I don't know if he could be the best tackle in the draft, but if he's available at 28, that to me is value. I don't know.
Right.
You don't have a need. The need is clearly greater on a guy like Woodley. But again, if you're getting Jonathan Ogden with the 28th pick in the draft, that's value. Now, that's why they make the big bucks again to decide whether Joe Staley is Jonathan Ogden
in the Navy. And to decide if Lamar Woodley would fit here.
I think Lamar Woodley would fit here.
I do too.
Wherever you take him, I think he's Wes Welker.
What was the
once they get him, whatever the value you gave up to get him, once you got him in a uniform and put him out there, I think he'd make plays.
I think he could be Adelius Thomas.
I think he could, too.
All over the place.
There was one question he asked early in that email about Samuel. I think it's July 22nd. Is that right?
Oh, I thought it was 15th.
Okay.
Mid-July.
Well, it would only be a week difference.
Right.
So
no, we'll be on vacation.
That's right.
We'll be at Fred's Bash.
Yeah.
Let's see. So,
all right. And just pay no mind.
And Russell finishes by saying that you're all great, but Casale has that certain something that really kicks the show to another gear. It
certainly does.
And Paul, stop with the kindler, gentler stuff. It's dog eat dog, and we, the people, demand an edge.
All right, Fred, I'm telling you.
The people have spoken.
I'm having a poll here, and I'm starting to get more that want the old Paul back.
Bring it on. I don't care. I'm not the one that complained. I mean, I don't care. It's all the emailers that thought that,
No, wait. It was one guy. But let's not call it the emailers.
Why did you change for just one guy?
The guy who called me grading. I have a grating radio personality, so I wanted to rectify that.
I think a lot of people feel that way.
But listen, I've never seen anything like that. I mean, some people don't like Paul. A lot of people don't like me. People don't like Andy. But I've never seen a fan base turn on a man like they have Frank
last year. Have made it happen.
I've never seen a fan. Yeah, it's our fault.
We can't get them to listen to us on anything other than that. But they all of a sudden do as we say and said, hate Frank.
Yeah.
Fred, you don't even believe here's another your person. Own
by the way, Patrick Willis is great. I think he has... At worst, is going to be a very productive football player in the NFL for like 10 years. At best, is an all-pro.
At worst, he's better than Lance Briggs already.
No question, but I'm not allowed to talk about that. Paul said not to.
Here's
very
another
grating
person.
When he said
that's
it, too.
That's not what I said, but that's okay. You can be in your own little pouty world.
Dave from the
Please
Philippines.
Tell me what I can do now.
Dave from the Philippines hates me, too.
I guess I won't be playing there, either.
He says, after spending the whole weekend with my family in Hong Kong, my two sons and I finally got my wife to agree to go to Beijing this summer so we could see the Pats. My 7-year-old wore her down for me after 10 years working in Sullivan Foxborough Stadium doing concerts but never a game day and then moving halfway around the world to the Philippines. I finally had a chance to see the Patriots live. Then I get home, bring up Patriots.com, and the first thing I hear is that the game is postponed for a couple of years. Whatever you did, Frank, thanks a lot for screwing that up for me. All right, well, you're welcome.
I don't know how we did it.
You're welcome. It was a lot of hard work, but I was on a mission. So
it's amazing. If you say Darnell Bing can't play, nobody remembers it. But one person called Fred Frank.
Now every emailer,
Frank, and every Frank. Emailer remembered it.
How about Kyle Passetti getting his first ever recognition on the show today?
Yeah.
Somebody brought up his name.
Yeah, but not in a very positive light, though.
No, but hey, Fred is a big believer. As long as they're saying your name, it's good publicity.
That's right. Well, just spell my name right.
Frank.
Let's see. Frank Kirsch in Chinese football says TG in New Jersey. Tom must be in a good mood now that Fred has made the China Bowl go away. What the hell did Fred do over there? The guy goes to one meeting in Beijing and they cancel the whole thing. He screwed up so bad he had to change his name to Frank. So now that we lost the opportunity to have the Chinese authorities rid us of Andy, hey. What do we do now? Just messing with you, you drunk Irish bastard. Not sure Andy's sarcastic comments would translate anyway. What does
probably not in communism, no.
And what does Mr. Never at His Desk Flanders do with all that China Bowl gear?
Hi, you've reached the desk of Ken Flanders at Gillette Stadium.
Sorry for the ranting. I do have a question. What is your assessment of the special teams? Will Sauerbrunn be the punter, or is he going back to Denver? Two punters allocated to NFL Europe. Who do you – are they calling it Europa?
Yes.
Oh, for crying out
loud. We still call it
NFL
Europe.
I still call
Europe,
it NFL though. Europe because I'm a nut.
When was the last time you talked about it?
Who do you see returning kicks? Would it be Welker? Troy Brown still on punt returns? Who will get the gunner duty? I'm assuming Guskowski will have another good year, if not better. Don't forget to rub down those K-balls, boys. Opportunity for a Gary soundbite, but he's too busy doing something else. And Brady in Africa, don't tell me, let me guess, he's adopting an orphan.
Well, that'd be a way to add another kid.
Should add that Todd Sauerbrunn thing. He did sign a contract offer with Denver. The Patriots would have a week to match that because they had the right of first refusal written into his deal with the Patriots.
Can we talk about that for a minute?
Sure.
Todd Sauerbrunn was added to this team after Josh Miller got hurt,
yeah,
and after Ken Walter sucked and either got hurt or they said, you're hurt, and they added him late in December, like
that's
the
correct.
20th something. But now you're losing your all-pro punter. And true, he was an all-pro punter before he was a steroid freak who ripped everybody and went nuts and sort of burnt his bridges throughout the NFL. Now, when did he become Patriots all-pro punter Todd Sauerbrunn? Like this big, well, the Patriots got to decide whether to match now.
Because he had a good game against San Diego.
He stunk before that. He wasn't all that good at the end of the regular season.
No.
He was actually pretty bad. Now, I know he came
very well against San Diego in the playoffs. I'll
and he came in late and whatever. But when did he become like this potential
indispensable
big loss?
Guy?
Yeah. Plus, I kind of thought it was Josh Miller's job to lose when they handed him $100,000 and said, we want you back. So
I agree with you.
You only need one punter. This isn't. I know they didn't expand the rosters, and we're not carrying two punters now.
Wasn't it Ephedra?
Yeah. Although he. Check the transcript. He's saying it was all alleged. Well, so you're saying you didn't take him. I'm saying it was all alleged. Well, you're not saying you didn't take him then.
I agree that the perception of that seems to be a bigger deal.
His
resume is the best resume
of any Patriots punter. Okay?
Yes, and I think at his best, I think he's a better puncher than Josh Miller.
Probably.
But, you know, I don't really see it's one of those things like in fantasy football where they always, you know, the fantasy guys always tell you, yeah, I mean, there's no question that the best kicker might be a better kicker than the worst one, but the difference in fantasy isn't that much.
Right.
Well, Sauerbrunn might be better than Josh Miller, but what are you really losing if you stick with Josh Miller?
Plus,
how much do you lose?
He was on the street for anybody to have. He's Jabbar Gaffney on steroids. No pun intended, or whatever that you would call that. I mean, Jabbar Gaffney, I think...
I was going to say, that's a rocket shot.
Well, I'll get the transcript where he refused to deny that he took him.
Right. No, I know the transcript you're talking
about. Jabbar Gaffney, we've sort of taken heat for because we said he had a couple good games in the postseason, but he's still Jabbar Gaffney. Well, Todd Sauerbrunn is still sort of a guy who has some questions about his off the field, how he is as a teammate, his weight, has some issues in his history, and now all of a sudden he's like a superstar again.
Daniel Sepulveda, round four.
I got no problem with that kind
of
talk.
What do you think of...
He ripped Denver when he was here, and now he wants to go back to Denver, but he's still trying to say he likes...
And Denver couldn't wait to run him out of town. Now they want him back.
Plus his agent's David Cantor.
What do you think they'll do in terms of this right of first refusal? Do you think
I'd refuse it.
Well, what do you think they'll do, though?
I think Josh Miller will poop himself if they bring in a veteran to compete for the job. I think Josh Miller's psyche is questionable as is, and I think he would... It would be detrimental to his performance to bring in an all-pro Todd Sauerbrunn, who, if you don't think Miller's your guy, you should have not paid him that
money.
What's
the deal that the Patriots have to match?
$1.3 million, everything. That includes all incentives.
Do it.
Why?
It was
Can I have
year?
Some analysis?
Because I think he's better than Josh Miller.
Was it a
so then why
deal?
Didn't you not pay Josh Miller and sign Todd Sauerbrunn?
I don't know.
Well, as long as you're giving it a lot of thought.
Do it.
Scintillating radio. Do it.
The rest of the special team stuff, I would say Wes Welker would be the punt returner, and he better be.
Yeah.
Let's hope paying him $18 million. He's got to do something.
He'd be an awful expensive backup wide receiver.
Tick, tick, tick.
So he better be the punt returner. And as far as gunners go, I mean, I don't know.
Well,
Willie Andrews.
And Andy's going to draft the guy from UConn, the fullback, to be the other gunner.
Deion Anderson will be in camp.
Which?
And Kelly Washington, Tom's guy.
He could be a gunner.
And how about we talk about the intriguing one? To me, that's who's kick returner?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. He's got Hobbs.
Ellis Hobbs is your starting
corner. It's not going to be Maroney.
Lawrence Maroney's your starting running back. I would say you'd prefer to not have either, right?
Definitely not.
You got no backup corners, and you put your corner out there to get hurt.
I would say you'd prefer to not have either. Now,
Willie Andrews?
You know, it's a local story in the Herald on Randall Gay today, you know, saying all the right things again, trying to work back from 2 years of injury. Maybe he's in the cornerback mix as a nickel guy, and maybe you have a little bit more depth there. I would be surprised if we saw Hobbs or Maroney back there, even though I think they're both very good at it. I think Bill might look at that and say, we have to find somebody else to do that because they're just too valuable.
Remember when Adrian Clem got mad at me because I wrote he took his yearly spot on IR?
Yes, I do remember that. Well,
you could write Randall Gay is about to take his yearly spot on IR because it's going to happen.
And you know why, Andy? What we haven't factored in here, what if they draft an Aaron Ross?
Right.
You know, you got the rookies that'll compete for
that
spot.
There's a bunch
too.
Of corners in the draft who are very good returners.
Okay.
Or a back. Does Booker return?
I'm sure he can.
Charlie is from Ithaca, New York.
Hey, Ithaca. I love Ithaca.
That's where my wife went to college.
Yeah.
It's Ithaca College.
Best times I ever had. Ithaca, New York.
Do it. Anything you want to share with us?
Oh, no, just partying and drinking. That's okay. That's the football team my buddy was on where they were all doing steroids at the Division III level.
Two years ago, I was banging 19-year-old blonde girls.
That was good. Now we're throwing Division III programs under the bus.
There's no question that there's a number of programs that are well-known for their steroid use.
Oh, and that was one of them?
Many in New England.
Ithaca.
That was one of them?
That's one.
Trinity?
There's another one in New York. What's it called?
Brockport? Cortland?
No.
While Andy thinks of that, we'll read the email. I'm a long-time listener, first-time emailer. I first want to say that you guys are great in that my off-season Wednesdays are improved whenever I hear what you've got to say. I must say that I'm excited, probably too excited, by the NFL draft. It's annually one of the top five dates that I look forward to almost every year. That being said, I've tried to stay away from mock drafts this year because they are almost always wildly inaccurate.
Guess he's not our target for that thing we put up yesterday.
Good work, Andy.
I did, however, break down and look at some today, and from what I've seen, I hope they are wildly inaccurate this year as well. Posluszny, Leonard, those are bad enough, but the thing that really stuck out was Pat Kerwin saying they'll pick Ryan Khalil, a center
that's
at 28.
That may be the worst of them all.
Didn't they just re-sign Copen during the year? What's
going
on?
That makes you smarter than Pat Kerwin.
And I got to
– that was the strangest pick.
It's agenda-driven.
Strangest
pick
I've ever
seen. Guy's out of USC,
seen.
And he's a borderline first-round pick at best. And, it's funny. Pete Carroll's best friend is now promoting that he's going to be a first-round pick. Interesting.
And I got to say something. I got to walk a fine line here, I know, but –
it's
you know, you give them two first-round picks in a mock draft, and you're giving them, like, Leonard and Gonzalez and Weddle. I mean, you're just giving them two white guys. Come on, seriously. This team's going to draft guys who can play. They're not just going to go out and draft two white guys. I just find that amusing. If you look at a lot of those mock drafts, 24, Brian Leonard at 28, give me a break. Seriously, give me a break. There's no way that's happening.
Let's see. Charles says, P.S. Andy. I'm half Irish and suffer from many allergies and other unfortunate genetic mishaps.
Sure, you're not allergic to alcohol.
My dad,
drunk.
My dad, not where the Irish came from, always said that it was a result of Irish inbreeding. Take that for what it's worth in your crusade against the drunken island.
I'm glad I didn't know that
Irish nation, whatever it is.
We're all inbred.
You misread really eloquently. Read the end of that email.
That's the French, actually. The
guy was helping you out and you took a shot at him.
That's the I know. French. He's actually supporting you.
Oops.
Tom's choking. Somebody give him the Heimlich. Are you all right?
My arms around him. He just popped a button off his pants in the bathroom, the fat bastard.
It took him 10 minutes.
I don't
minutes
know why I give him the
to
ammo,
work that into the show. But he does it. He doesn't just say, hey, wait, I got a story, quick story. He worked it into the show in 10 minutes.
No, you don't waste it. You put it right back in file, and that's just another
the
piece of material.
NO2, I'm bulking up again.
Yeah, and some would ask, why are you taking NO2?
Some might ask that, Andy.
Especially right after you just got a tailored suit.
All right.
Don't worry.
You got a deal, though. Don't worry. You pay $1,000 for a jacket.
Bud really hooked me up. Hey, Bud.
You got a really good deal.
Hang on. Let me finish chewing first.
Okay.
What do you need?
He's chewing. Read an email, and then he'll be back.
Scott from Washington, D.C. says, draft talk. I'm
back.
Scotty,
I'm back, Fred.
Okay.
Did that guy throw in a free shirt for you?
Who?
The guy who did your suit? Did he give you
a
free shirt?
He threw one.
I knew that. Now I don't like him.
He didn't throw in a free shirt?
No, because he says to me, I'm going to give you a wedding present. I'm going to throw in the shirt for free. Well, Fred wasn't getting married.
Fred's been married for 10 years.
So now he's just a slime ball.
No, but he gave me a – I don't know why he gave me a free
shirt. Well, don't say it's a wedding present.
Because he gives everybody a free shirt.
Yeah.
It's part of the package.
I agree with Tom on this.
Give me $50 off the suit if you're going to give me a wedding
present.
That's
$100 value, though, that shirt.
If I buy one –
obviously,
that's
what he gives.
Right. If I bought one, it would be like a present because I had a kid or it's Tuesday or – there's going to be a reason. You're getting the free shirt.
He was doing salesman
part of the package.
And I don't like salesmen.
I agree
with Tom.
Okay. Did you get your suit yet?
Not only have I not gotten it, I haven't heard from the guy after he got my $350.
He called me yesterday.
Yeah, well, you better tell him. You better call me at some point.
I think Fred's getting a piece of your action.
When are you supposed to get your suit?
A little pyramid scheme here.
Another month.
Another month. Oh, okay. So why do you need him to call you?
Just to check in. I sent him a check. You know.
Yeah. So what? Did he cash it?
I don't know.
You don't check your bank account?
Well, I keep track of it, but I don't call up every day to see what the balance is.
No, but you can see it online.
I got to be honest with
you,
Fred.
It's not.
It's not pretty.
You can see what the check's been cashed.
Okay. Read the
email.
Tom's all mad. I don't know. We're talking finances here.
He's sick of you now.
Something about I'm 35 years old and I don't
know.
I'm not 35.
Okay. I don't know.
I think that's what you said, though. I don't need to have it read back to me.
Are you just about 35?
No.
Are you 33?
No, I turned 29 in a couple weeks.
Yeah, 7 years ago.
I got a feeling we got to bring out the birth certificate here.
Well, no, I'm going to turn.
I'm saying his name's not Tom Cassell.
No, I'm not sure that's going to clear anything up.
I mean, for all we know, he could be working for the Colts.
I'm going to be turning 29 if you listen to the people in Castleton.
Okay.
But
who are dumb enough to have you back to show what a success you are?
Hey. You know, they want to show off the successes of that school. Apparently, they only have one.
Let's see. Scott from Washington.
18 years from now, when my kid's going through schools, if that name ever pops up on any list, immediately removed from the list.
Good idea.
I'm not a huge fan of linebacker Paul Paulusny.
Neither
is Tom. There seems to be a heck of a lot of buzz about him. I know Tom doesn't like him, so I'd like to know, first, what is it about Paz that has people thinking he's so great? And second, what is it about him that makes you think he is overrated and shouldn't be drafted by the Patriots? Please note, I'm emailing you this afternoon, so I apologize if you've already covered this by the time you get to my email. We did kind of talk about him earlier in the
show.
Him. But that was a long time ago, it seems.
And it's not that I don't love him. What I wrote on the web is that it's not like I hate Paulusny. I don't love him like some other people do. And I don't know if he'd be a good fit here because Andy and I kind of disagree on this point. I don't think he's great when he gets engaged with bigger blockers. Andy thinks he does well at that. So, I mean, and that's, he's one of the most hotly debated guys in the draft. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons. Some people think he can get off the block. Some people think he can't. Well, so he's a lightning rod for controversy.
And a big part of the reason is you can't say he can't play because he's showed you throughout his career that he can play and be productive at a very high level.
And
so you can't just dismiss it.
You can't overlook that.
He's not David Ball where you can dismiss it.
Right.
He played at a high level, was very productive. That gets you something. Now as you start looking closer, what do you think he is? What can he be at the next level? Another aspect of it people don't talk a lot about is he played last year with a huge knee brace coming back from a major knee injury. Was he slowed by that? Is he going to be better year two removed from that? Does he have more speed than maybe he showed last year?
And I think his upside is, to take another Penn State linebacker who was pretty good, Shane Conlon. You remember Paul from the Bills?
Absolutely.
Now, was he a phenomenal player? No, but he was a very solid NFL player, and I think that's the kind of guy he could be. That's his upside.
He also always did well against the Patriots.
Did he? Shane Conlon? Yeah. But I know, Fred, you don't want him here because you'll never be able to pronounce his name, apparently.
He'll call him Paz or whatever they call him.
Paulusny.
Paulusny.
You'll just come up with a nickname, right?
Yeah, Paz.
Pee-pee.
Paul. Let's see. Dave in Stores. Earlier we had a trivia question about the highest drafted player on the roster last year, and the answer was Junior Seau.
That's what the guy said, yeah.
Right. Dave corrects it. He said Testaverde was the player highest drafted in the roster. He was
the number overall
pick in the draft. So say I was wrong, and that sounds like it's...
So that guy's trivia is flawed on a lot of levels.
Yeah. I mean, if you got to, you know, give us trivia questions, let's, you know...
Wow.
Okay.
Fred's calling him out more than I was.
Let's see. Jarek writes in, or Lizzie, who's still in the restaurant biz. Who are these people?
By the way, Lizzie... If you're talking about the restaurant biz, just so I can say this.
Well, she's not talking about that. So.
Okay, but I'm just saying she...
Before you rip her.
No, I'm not ripping her, but my parents were the restaurant business for 25 years.
That's right, they owned a restaurant.
I do know a little. Maybe that's why...
So you tell us what the average tip is.
No, but maybe that's why I tip a little
more. He was in the restaurant business 10 years ago.
No, but I'm saying maybe that's...
Percentage.
Maybe that's why I tip a little more, Fred.
But percentages have changed. It's gone up.
Because I was... You know, we did own a restaurant, and, you know, maybe I give a little more.
Okay. FYI, Dylan's jersey is 70% off at the Pro Shop while quantities last. Tom, can I get you one? Has Stallworth picked the jersey number yet?
Well, it's kind of hinging on Todd Sauerbrunn. If they match it like you want them to, Fred, then he'll probably keep 18 and then try to sell it to Stallworth.
And
if
Stallworth
not, I think
wants
Stallworth 18? Will be 18.
Okay, then don't.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, that Sauerbrunn's going to drive a hard bargain, too. He's not going to give it up for a case of beer.
The Pro Shop has merchandise with only
something else.
No purchase there from me. Tom, don't challenge listeners to confrontations, as too many people would probably take you up on the offer after a single beer. Not a fan of the death wish. And glad to hear about the China trip. Always be nice to I Wish I Was Frank. Cheers.
You know, we had a couple emailers back. They were talking about no Thursday night opener. No, you know, now that we're not going to China, I kind of wish that we had the Thursday night opener now. Because I don't mind playing in that game. I think you actually made that point too. It's kind of nice to have that start to the season. Then you have that first weekend where you can kind of relax. You've already played. You can watch the whole league and get a little bit of a feel of how all the teams are shaping up. You get a chance to see them because, you know, who knows how long it'll be when you get a bye and you actually get a chance to, or a Monday night game when you can see some of the games.
So that's another bit of news.
That is a good thing about, you know, and plus for us on our schedule, it's always better to play early than it is late, you know, like on a Monday night.
Right, if we play on a Thursday night, we come home and we come back in Friday, like a normal Friday, we work, and then we have the weekend off.
That's a decent...
But that's from a selfish perspective. But I'm just saying from the point of view of actually watching the league, I would like to get that week one opportunity. I liked when we played on those Thursday night openers, and before that, a Monday night opener here to open Gillette Stadium against Pittsburgh, where you got a chance to see the whole league.
Back when they used to win?
That particular year, yeah.
We should note that the NFL schedule was postponed. It was originally scheduled to come out on Thursday, and they bumped it back to later in the month.
Probably trying to figure out when to put that Patriots-Cowboys game on.
Which is funny because
they know when to put that
NFL Network was running ads promoting their unveiling of the schedule. So I don't know what happened there.
Some team's not happy, or a network's not happy with something. Phil, we'll close the show with this email. Frankie says, do you guys think Ted Ginn is sliding, and do you think the Patriots would consider him if he gets to 24 or 28?
I'd take him in a second.
Do you think he's sliding?
I don't think he'll slide to 24
on
draft
day. Well, he's not working out.
I was going to say, he hasn't run, and that's what hurts you.
And you think the Patriots would take him?
Yes. But consider him.
You know the thing about Ted Ginn, though? He doesn't have to run. All you got to do is hit play. That's all you need to see, because that guy is blazing fast.
I agree with you, both of your assessments of his playing. I'm just not sure the Patriots would use a first-round pick on him.
I think they'd consider him. Maybe they wouldn't.
I think with Ted Ginn, the worst you get is Devin Hester. That's the worst that you get, is you get one of the top return men in the league. We saw what he can do for the Bears. Plus, he'll probably end up being a pretty good receiver as well. Mm-hmm. So that's a heck of a pick if you can get him late in the first round.
Phil will close the show with his email. He says, please ask Gary if he can let everyone know when Fred gets through the entire list of George Carlin's words that you can't say on the radio.
That was a close show.
One slip up. That's it.
You've done three, right?
What? Bad words?
Yeah.
Over time, over the last 10 years that we've been doing this, probably.
Well, over the last three, I'm going to say. You said the A word, the S word, and the F word.
Okay.
There's six? There really are six of them?
Keeping track? I forget. Anyway, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We'll be back next Wednesday, noon, Eastern Daylight Time. Who knows what kind of news we'll have next week. See you then.